Praise the Lord. It's good to have all y'all here today for the Healing School. I'd like to ask some questions. Who is from out of state? Who do we have that's from out of state? Okay, and where are y'all from?
Colorado Springs.
South Carolina. Praise. Anybody else on this side out of state? Nope. Okay, on this side, who was out of state? Okay, wow, we don't have near as many. Last month we had people from all over out of state. And the rest of y'all, and I'll ask this question again, is there anybody from Justin here? Only Dave and Phil holding up their hand. The rest of us, it's amazing that we teach a healing school and how many people there are sick in the local area and they don't come. Isn't that amazing? That never ceases to amaze me. But I tried and tried and tried to teach these same principles in my Baptist church for years, and they just wouldn't receive it. So all I can say is, hey, it works.
That's right.
It sure does work, doesn't it, brother? It works, I guarantee. These young men up here on the front were telling me about how they stood on God's word and the mighty miracles they're seeing God do. And so, and I guess before we get started on the teaching today, I would start out. Does anybody have a testimony you want to tell us about what God's done either in your life or anything, any kind of a testimony you want to give God some glory for what he's done? Anybody have one? Okay, we got one back here and then we got one back there. Come up here, young lady. Come up here and tell us what God has done for you. We love it when Jesus shows up. The King is wonderful. And he tells us in his word to give him the glory. You know, whenever he does something. So just hold that microphone.
I have to hold that?
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't have to. I'll hold it for you. Okay.
I was sick with a lung disease. I was diagnosed with lung disease. And I was dying. And the Lord pulled me through it.
Amen.
So now the doctors are thinking that eventually I'll need a lung transplant. And I plan on showing them that they're wrong.
Amen. So. Amen. But since you've just had a lung problem, let me share with all of you and this precious daughter of the King that we went to the Minneapolis area here recently, and there was a young lady like her up there that had lungs that was incurable, and through faith and through prayer, God gave her a brand new pair of lungs. Her name is Cindy, and when she went back in, when I prayed for her that day, she said, "I know I'm healed because it's written in the book." Not because I feel good, but I know I'm healed because I feel, not because I feel so good, because it's written in the book.
Amen.
And she went to her doctor and said, "Doc, I won't be coming back. I'm healed." And they, "Yeah, okay, Cindy, I'm sure. Come in, let me run some tests on you." And she said, "No, I'm healed." He comes back in a little while after he's run the test and he says, "Cindy, you're not healed." She said, "I know I'm healed." He said, "No, you're not healed. You got two new lungs." That's where you're going to be, right, young lady?
Well, I plan on not getting surgery done, but
you're going to
plan on staying with the lungs I have.
Okay,
you know,
but God's going to give you some new ones.
Well,
you receive them, right?
Oh, well, of course.
In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for my new lungs.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He said you could have whatever you ask for in faith.
Yes.
So you get in his word, love him and worship him and praise him, mm-hmm. and he'll give you a new set of lungs. Okay?
Amen. Sure will.
Praise the King. Glory, glory. Okay, the lady back there in the back, come on down here. Praise the Lord. Let's give God the glory.
Amen.
Now, where are you from, young lady?
Fort Worth.
You're from Fort Worth. Okay,
yes.
What's God done for you?
Well, I fell off a 6-foot pallet. My shoulder was separated this big. And I asked the doctor how long. He said, "Well, I'm not a bone doctor, but you're going to have to go and get cut and put that little wire and get them together, solder or whatever they said." And I said, "How long am I going to be, you know, unavailable to work?" Or he said, 18 months at least. I said, "Okay." I went home. I told my Lord, "I'm coming to your house tomorrow so you can heal me."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
One day.
Huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the King. Praise the King. Praise the King. Wow. That's the kind of work Jesus does. You want to tell us your testimony about the one you prayed for, the lady?
Sure.
Okay, come up here and tell us what God did there.
Okay.
Hold it up close now.
All right. I live here in, East Texas. And I work in Irving, and I was introduced to the hard-hitting messages that Thurman delivers about 2 months ago. And as I started listening to them, I started believing them. And I got in the Word, and I believed the Word. And so I go to work one day, and there's this girl there, and she comes in, and she says, "Man, my head's been killing me." And I go, "Well, why?" And she says, "Well, I got this doctor's appointment tonight to go get my kidney stones looked at. I've had these kidney stones for months, and they say if you stand on your head, you'll pass them." And I go, "Michelle," I said, "you are a daughter of the King." I said, "Come over here. We're going to pray for you." So she came over, and we prayed for her. And I said, "Now let me ask you, because this is the key, guys. I said, do you have anything you need to repent of?" And you never know what somebody's going to say when you ask that question, so you have to be ready. And so she told me what she needed to repent of, and I said, okay. And so I asked if it was okay if I pray for her, and we prayed. I said, "All right, Michelle, you're healed in Jesus' name. Now don't waver. Believe it. It's true. It's done." She goes, "Okay." So she comes in the next day, and she goes, first words out of her mouth, "You're not going to believe this." I go, no. Stop. Back up. Wrong words. I said, "I do believe it." She said the doctors couldn't find a single kidney stone on the x-rays.
Amen.
Said, "Hallelujah, Jesus." That's right.
So that's a good sign it worked for you just like it does for me,
right? That's
right.
And let me tell you, I messed up worse than any of the rest of y'all.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else have another testimony before we quit and go to the Word? Oh, okay, brother. Come on. Praise the King. I love it when the Word of God works for y'all. You know, whenever you pray for people, I love it. Don't you, Frank?
Amen.
I love it. God's word works. Yes, brother.
Well, I have a confession to make first, which is one of the first things I had to confess for. October 22nd, 2006, I was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer, head and neck cancer. Okay? Now, I did probably, if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verses 12 and 13, it said King Asa had a terrible foot disease, and he trusted the doctors
and he died.
Instead of the Lord. And he died, and he died. So that was the confession. Yeah. So I have to ask God, too, to forgive me. Because when you're diagnosed with things like this, you know, there's a lot of pressure put on you immediately.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been cut. I've been burned. I've been poisoned. You know, I've gone through it, you know. But I've only had one healer. And it was done 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
You know, and that's what I had to get into Word and everything. And my primary physician on my paperwork now is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because that's the only primary physician. Now, I still have to go back to the oncologist. I've got an appointment Monday. But, you know, I'm just going to trust the Lord.
Amen.
You know, because I'm still here. And, you know, they said terminal. And that's the reason I had to take a sip, because they have burned my saliva glands pretty much out, most of saliva glands and taste buds. But I'm grateful to be here. And it's a pleasure to stand here and say I'm a blood-washed, born-again child of the King.
Amen.
So I know who my servant is.
Amen, brother. Praise the King. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. Let's go to the Word. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you and thank you for your Word. We praise you and thank you that you're the King and you wrote a book, and we call it the Owner's Manual, the book that tells us who you are and who we are and what you like and what you don't like. And Lord, we praise you and thank you that you told us everything we needed to know to walk in health and prosperity. It's all in your book. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for it. Now, Lord, reveal these truths to us today. Lock them into our heart and our minds, that if we read and study your word today, we will come into an agreement with you. So those of us that do need to be healed will be healed, and those of us that are well will stay well. And we praise you and thank you for the revelation and wisdom you will give us today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, today to start off with, I didn't have time to give Dave my little list because I was studying late in the wee hours this morning and this morning. But I want to start out with Jeremiah 30, verses 13 through 15. I always like to start out and show you some of the things that God doesn't like and what makes us sick. So people don't know, and of course I've never really touched even the corner of the market of what the Word says about what makes us sick. And, oh, by the way, I will have to say, I'm sorry I didn't get our new screen up. A lady provided this new 8x8 screen, which is laying up there and still in the box on top of that sheetrock there, and I just ran out of time. I didn't have time to get it hung, but I will. And instead of having a sheet up there next week or whatever, we will have that screen up, I hope. And then eventually one day when we get the wall built that goes across here, we'll have that big screen right here in the middle of the front. So we're still in the building process. But anyway, on Jeremiah 30, verses 13 through 15, I want to show you something here. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. There has no healing medicines. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Now, I want you to stop and meditate on this a minute. I want you to get what he's saying here. First of all, take the last line. Because your sins were increased. Now, how many people do you know in the church that still sin?
That's right.
I mean, the church today, if you were to stand up before an average church, a congregation of 100 or 500 or 5,000 church believers, and ask them, how many of you today believe you can go through this day, just one day, with no sin in your life? You know that most people won't hold up their hand. But you know, that should not be true.
That's right.
We ought to see ourselves as sinless. We're not going to sin. We're free of sin because Jesus has redeemed all that from us and for us. And now he tells us to walk without sin.
Amen.
And if we walk without sin, I guarantee you won't ever have to be sick again. And anytime you come and ask him for anything, he'll do it for you. You know that? Don't you love that? Yes, I do too. I love that. But when he says, because of our sins were increased, he says there that all thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. For I, God, have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. Now, who in the world do you think that cruel one is? Who do you think it is? The Satan. That's right. The cruel one, the one God built and made to hurt you whenever you do something wrong, is the devil. And who made him? God did. Does the devil have to obey God? Of course he does. He works for him. And God is in total control. I guarantee. I mean, somebody said, well, I don't believe God would do that to me. Well, he says in Matthew 28, the last couple of verses, all power is given to me. Jesus is talking. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. How much power?
All.
Do you think that means what it says?
Yeah.
Okay, if all power is given to Jesus in heaven and earth, then who's in control of the universe? Jesus is. Who obeys the king? Everybody does. You, me. I mean, when we obey him, he blesses our socks off.
Amen.
If we do not obey him, then this is what happens. Now we come back and look. He's in verse 14. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude, and why did he do that to you? For the multitude of your iniquity. Because your sins were increased. Now then, you know, by the time we get a few of these today, we'll realize that God's shooting arrows at us through the devil. I mean, how many of you remember over in the New Testament where he said, if we walk with the shield of faith today as his children, we can quench how many of the fiery darts of the enemy? Hey, now don't you like that?
Yeah.
Hey, those fiery darts are still out there, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And they're being fired at us.
Right.
And whenever the devil tries to fire a dart at us today as children of God, Just like the story the young man told up here about the girl that had the kidney stones, when he asked her to repent of her sins, she had an unforgiveness towards someone. And she got that unforgiveness taken care of. Now then, the beautiful part about the new covenant, when you repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you, how many does he forgive? Ooh, isn't that beautiful? What a mighty king that'll forgive all of our sins, huh? And so then all he's looking for after that is faith. And see, he loved it when you told her, I guarantee you're healed, because he made you that promise. He said, if two of us on earth agree about anything, it's done, didn't he? And so we're, a lot of times we don't get anything under the new covenant. We say, well, Lord, I'm not sure what your will is here. Well, get in the book and find out what his will is, right? Find out what it is. You know, and then you can come to him and do like this young man did. He can stand by faith and he can quote the word and he can say, I guarantee it'll work because Jesus said it.
Amen.
And it did work, didn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now that girl's going to have to continue to walk in love. She can't go back to that stuff. Now then, in the, let's see, I said verse 15 too there. Let's see what verse 15 says. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thy iniquity. Now, how would you like to be there?
No.
In other words, on this side, on that side of the cross, they didn't have Jesus, did they? Ooh, now I'm glad I didn't live over there, aren't you? Because on this side, nothing's incurable.
That's right.
But on that side, it's incurable. Why criest thou for your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable for the multitude of your iniquity. Because your sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. Who done those things to him? God did. Who sent that cruel one against you? God did. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? Ooh, God would send the devil against me? Well, you don't know why most of the church today, whenever we start rebuking the devil and he laughs at us and cusses us and spits in our face and don't leave, you know why he don't leave? Because God sent him. He ain't afraid of you. Now then, if you get your sins repented of, then in the name of Jesus, you can rebuke him and drive him away. The very first time that ever happened to me, whenever I had been involved a little bit with demons. I'd learned a little bit about them. And so a Baptist preacher asked me to come over to one of his people's home one Sunday afternoon. He called me about 7 that morning. And so I met him at 2 o'clock that afternoon in Fort Worth. I went over to a home of a person. And we walked in, and this woman had already had a hysterectomy. She had already had all kinds of things. Nothing solved her back and cramp problems. So when I went in, I asked them to bring the... there's a whole family there. And so I asked them to bring the woman in, and well, she didn't want to come in. So I prayed and took authority over the devil, and I said, now go back there and get her and bring her in here. Well, they brought this woman in, her husband and her sister, walked in, big, long hair, black hair, hanging down. She had her face over. And when she walked through the door, she started screaming, I hate you. I am mean. I'm going to hurt you. I don't want you in my house. Well, now, the average Baptist deacon would have laughed, wouldn't he? What would you have done? You know, most of us say, oh, man, this woman's mean. Let me out of here. Well, you got to realize what you're fighting against. And you got to realize that that devil has no power over you as a son of God walking in obedience to God's word. He can do all kinds of things to intimidate you. Well, they set her down in a chair, and I knelt down in front of her on my knees and reached up and touched her hair to move it out of her face. And she slapped me, bam, don't you touch me. I'm going to hurt you. I said, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of her now in the name of Jesus. I mean, that little lady's voice immediately changed, and it was a man's voice, and he said, I ain't coming out. I got a legal right to be here. I thought, devil, you're a liar. The Word of God says you're a liar. I said, you don't have a legal right to be there. I did everything I knew to do. That devil ain't budging. So I decided it's time to pray. How many of you know it's always time to pray? Right? So I said, Lord, what is this deal here? I said, Lord, you told me I had power to cast out the devil, and I'm trying my best to exercise your power, your word, what you said, and this devil ain't budging. I said, why is he not leaving? And the Lord says, he's there because I sent him. That was a new revelation to me. I didn't know at this time God was in control of the devil. I thought the devil just running around on earth attacking whom he would. I didn't know how the system worked. And I said, Lord, he's there because you sent him? He said, yes, she has unforgiveness. I thought, wow. I looked up at the husband. I said, do you know who your wife has unforgiveness toward? He said, oh, yeah, that's real simple. Her first husband. I said, you see those two biggest boys there? I said, yeah. He said, those were hers and his. And said, when that second one was born, he run off and left her in the hospital with no help. And she's hated him with a passion ever since. Do you know that in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, God says if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, he will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. Do you know what that says? You've read that, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
You believe he'll do that? You do. Oh, well, you're a smart boy because you believe what's written in the book, right? Now, the average church member don't believe God will send a demon to torment you. We just don't hardly believe that. But let me tell you, it says it in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And sometime during the course of the day, we'll hit that. But anyway, I said, well, you got to repent. I told her, I said, young lady, you got to forgive your first husband. She said, no, I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive him. I said, ma'am, he's already ruined your life up to now. And I said, he's going to ruin the rest of your life if you don't forgive him. I said, there's no way I can get you healed until you do what God says. Now, I know there's no way I can get her healed because I just heard God say that devil's there because he sent him. If God sent that devil, what do you think my chances are of getting him out? Zero. Zero. So anyway, I finally got her to repent and forgive her first husband. Now, the very minute that I heard her speak those words, okay, I forgive him from my heart for mistreating me and all the things he did to me. I forgive him in the name of Jesus. I said, okay, devil, you have no legal claim to this girl anymore. I said, now, Satan, you foul spirit of hell, I said, I command you in the name of Jesus to go. Bam, just like that. I mean, he didn't even look back, didn't fuss at me. He was gone in a heartbeat. She swung that head up. And this woman, I just told her a few minutes ago, I said, woman, what you need is Jesus. She said, no, I don't want nothing to do with him. Now then that devil's gone, she looked up. I said, now, woman, what you need is Jesus. She said, yes, yes, I want to be saved. I led the woman to Jesus, and I said, now you need to be healed. And I prayed the prayer of faith for her, and the Lord took away all her pain and her cramps and everything. And this woman lunged out of that chair and grabbed me, and of course I was spring loaded because I didn't know what was going to happen. And when she lunged out there, I lunged up too, you know, but I didn't get away from her. She grabbed me around the neck, squeezed me, and started kissing me on the cheek and says, you got to pray for my sons. I want you to pray for my husband before you leave. Now, a few minutes ago, this woman wanted to hurt me. Now, who was it that wanted to hurt me?
The devil,
but he's going to use that woman's body to hurt me. And see, with a devil's in a little, you can take a little tiny woman like this one right here and put one or two demons in her, and she'd be meaner and old. Oh, you know what I mean. Repent, brother. Is she your wife? Okay. But when a devil gets a hold of one of us, he can do awesome things. And unfortunately, too often, we as Christians yield to the devil when he does come. Just like when you and your husband, whenever he wants to do something or whatever, and you've got other plans, and you read him the right act and say no. See, now, technically speaking, that's a devil talking out of your mouth. Okay, that don't ever happen. Okay. But you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at how the devil can talk out of our mouth. We know he can do that, don't we? And he'll talk out of our mouth. Somebody said, well, the devil could never talk out of my mouth. Well, let me tell you, if Jesus is on the earth walking here, and he walks up and he says, Peter, who do people say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, guys, I'm fixing to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die on the cross. And he grabs him and drags him over to the side and says, this shall never be. He turns around, looks him right in the face and says, get behind me, Satan. Now, one time, God's speaking out of Peter's mouth, and a few seconds later, the devil's talking out of his mouth. If he can do that to Peter, guess who he can do it to? He can do it to you and me. But today, we've got the Holy Spirit, and we have to be in control. And whenever that devil comes and tries to get us to do something or to think something wrong, you have to capture those thoughts. Otherwise, he'll take control of you and he'll beat up on you. And there's so many ways, you know, that the devil does this to us today. And so, of course, when we yield to him, and one of the ways he gets us today, I asked Howard Pittman this question because I knew it was true, but since he'd been in the spirit world, and he was a Baptist preacher that died in 79, and God took him on a tour of the spirit world and then brought him back to life, and he's still alive today. And we talked to him for hours and hours the other day. In fact, I guess we have his interview back there, don't we? On CD. Dave recorded that, so Howard Pittman interview. This Baptist preacher that died in 1979, we flew down to Palestine. I took a whole plane load of people, and we all sat around a table for 5 or 6 hours and talked to Howard about his encounter with God and the spirit world. And it's really was interesting. And I asked him a question. I said, whenever a pain or something comes upon us, since Jesus bore our pain, I said, the devil comes around and tests us, doesn't he? He said, yeah, God's testing us. I said, so when the devil comes and he puts a pain in the back of my hand, and then he puts a thought in my mind, oh, you're over 50, you're coming down with arthritis. I said, then he's waiting to see what I'm going to say about that. Wow, that's a serious pain in my hand this morning. Don't you think you got arthritis? What are you going to say about that? You ain't buying that today, are you, young lady? But you know what happens to most of us as Christians since we don't know the word? We buy it. And a little later, that pain hits you again. And then you walk up to somebody and you say, man, he said, what's wrong with you? I said, man, I got this terrible pain in my hand. He said, well, maybe coming down with arthritis.
No, thank you.
Frank ain't buying that either. But do we hear these kind of things in the church? I mean, I've walked down the aisle in the church. Somebody, I say, how you doing, sister? Oh, I feel awful this morning. I must be coming down with the flu. That's just like the other day. I went down to Baptist church, a whole string of young men. 18, 19, 20, 21, I mean all kinds of potential. I'm walking down through there shaking hands with these young men. I get down to one of them and I stick my hand. I say, how you doing, son? He jerks his hand back and said, Mr. Scrivener, I can't shake hands with you. I said, why? Well, he said, I've got the flu and I've been blowing my nose and so I've got those germs all over my hand. I said, I'm immune. Shake my hand.
That's right.
Ain't no sickness can touch me. I know the word. Now, he ain't bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Jesus. He paid the price. And if you get to that point, you can do the same thing. He gave you great power on this earth. And as you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. If you believe, no, I ain't shaking your hand. If you've been blowing that old snotty nose and you got the flu, I don't want the flu. Is that the way we talk in church? No. We're sons of God. We ain't walking in sin. That devil can't touch us, right? That's what the word says anyway, isn't it? So see, but that's what happens. But whenever you, when you kick these devils out of people, after I kicked that devil out of that woman that day, that woman got healed of everything. I mean, that woman got set free, and I learned a great and awesome principle there, that God had sent the cruel one, a demon, against this woman because of her unforgiveness. Now, if the church knew that, nobody in a church would ever hold an unforgiveness or a grudge against anybody, would they, son? I mean, there ain't no way. I mean, but see, God's no respecter of persons. We start right here on this line. He don't love you any more than he does you or you or you. No respect. Even though you may be a precious little daughter, which you may think he loves you more than he does your husband, he don't. I got news for you. And he don't go to luck. And he, that's my wife, you know, she wants to be loved more. She goes, God surely loves me more than he does my husband. Yeah. Surely he'd, I'm his favorite. I said, no, honey, I'll bust your bubble. You're not his favorite. He honors faith and faith alone. Amen. After obedience, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Praise the Lord. But that woman got set free and she got healed that day. And then after they left, after I left, that Baptist preacher as we're walking out. He said, "Thurman, if I'd had a video camera." He said, "I'd give anything if I had a video camera and I could have videoed the event that I saw in there today." He said, "That's the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life." Well, the next day I called that husband. I said, "How's things going at your house?" He said, after you left, my wife hadn't been out of the house in weeks. Wouldn't won't go out. She said, "Well, let's go shopping." So he said, we went shopping and said, when we got home, all four of our sons, two of them's his and two of them's hers, but there's four boys, and they're all grown. The oldest one's like 17. They walked in and said, "Daddy, this is not our mother. We ain't never seen Mama that loving and sweet in our whole life." Now, why is Mama not loving and sweet? Because she had a demon. She had a demon. Now, when you got a demon inside of you, sometimes you can be fairly loving and sweet. But sometimes you can be a terror. You ever wonder why you're like that? Because you listen to demons. You don't have to. As a Christian, you don't have to listen to them things. You have power over them in the name of Jesus. Now then, I'd hate to have lived back here when he said that our afflictions and your sorrow is incurable for the multitude of your iniquity or your sin. You know, today there is still a sin unto death. You know that?
That's right.
But I don't want to commit that sin, do you?
No.
Somebody says, "What is it?" I don't know. He just says, all sin is unrighteousness. And if you commit the sin unto death, he says, you can't pray about it. Now, I have prayed for a few people in my life that died. And after I went to the Lord and said, "Lord, what's going on here?" He told me they had committed the sin unto death. Now, I didn't know. And, of course, it's been different. Do we know of a sin unto death in the Bible?
Yes.
In the New Testament? What is it, brother?
Ananias and Sapphira.
Ananias and Sapphira, and it was over what?
Money.
But what was it? What was it? Lying. That's what it was. Yeah, it was lying. They lied. Does God say in Proverbs 16 that he hates lying? Yeah, he hates lying. There are seven things God hates, and that's one of them. So if there are seven things God hates, it might not be a bad idea to find out what they are and then don't do them, right? Is that true? And since he's no respecter of person and you're not his favorite, you know, since he does treat every one of us, love every one of us the same, if there is seven things he hates, then we need to know what those are and we need to not do those things. And we will cover those before we get through here today. Now then, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to go all the way to verse 9 of chapter 5. So we're going to cover a few reasons that makes us sick and afflict us. And there's several of them right here in Proverbs 4 and 5. Now in Hebrews, in Proverbs 4, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Now that's a pretty good, that's a straight right out of the book, right? Don't forsake my law, because if you do, you're in trouble. Is that what he said? But God would never do that to me, would he? Well, he says he will. And since he can't lie, okay, let's go to the next couple of verses. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and
live."
Do you want to live?
Yes, sir.
I want to live. Don't you? I never seen a human being that didn't want to live. You know, once in a while you run into somebody that, you know, says, "Hey, I want to die." Well, I mean, they've listened to the devil too much. And unfortunately, that does happen. But hear, retain my words, keep them in your heart, keep my commandments, and you will live. So if you don't keep his commandments, you don't walk in obedience to his word, what are you going to do? You're going to die. And when you die, if you're not listening to his word and you've never listened to his commandments and you never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, when you die, where are you going? Now, hell, that's awful. But that's where you're going. And so I listened to a Baptist preacher preach. I think he was in about his 40s. And he walked up on a platform the other day with a youth group, and there were several thousand of these youth people there. And the message was, most of you people in here today, in 100 years, will be in hell. That's not normal for a Baptist preacher, is it? I mean, he said that. He said, you know, you can't tell the difference between you guys and the world.
That's right.
Y'all are living with each other. You're lying. You're stealing. You're cheating. You're doing all these things. And so said, all of you that are doing that, if you don't change and repent, said, you, in 100 years now, you'll be in hell. You may say you're a Christian, but said you're not.
That's right.
Woo! I mean, that's just putting it point blank, isn't it? That ought to put some fear in somebody. You know, somebody told me I was going to be in hell in 100 years. If somebody told me I was going to be in hell in 5 days, I'd be doing something about it, wouldn't you? I don't want to go to that place. Not at all. No, not at all. I mean, just think. I mean, when Cheryl and I was reading that here a while back, she's at that time, it's been a while back when I was reading this, she I never saw that. It said the worms crawl in and out. They never die. Now, for a woman, she just shook. She shuddered. When this one over here on the end did the same thing. That's what my wife did too. She said, you mean people that die, the worms crawl in and out day and night and they never cease? I said, yeah. I said, that ought to make us want to tell people about this good place of heaven, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, these words are true. You know it, young lady?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you ain't going to have to go there?
Yes.
Amen. There's a smart girl. She don't want to go there. We don't want to go there, do we? We ain't going to go there either, are we, young lady? No, we're not, because we're washed in the blood of Jesus. But still, we can be washed in the blood of Jesus, and if we don't keep His commandments, we're going to die prematurely. And I have seen many people, both men and women, die prematurely. So, you don't want to go there. At least I don't. I want to live to be, you know, what's a ripe old age? What do you consider a ripe old age? I mean, a couple of hundred, that'd be a good start. You know, that I mean, you know, I mean, some of the people in the Old Testament, they lived to be 965,
wow.
Right? And they were still evidently healthy when the flood came. You know, so praise God. You know, I mean, the New Covenant, it's got some promises in it that nobody's ever been able to, or at least nobody that we know, but the New Covenant's got some great promises. And we're going to try to hit some of those today, too. God has really, under the New Covenant, given you such great and awesome promises. But what we're doing now is showing you a few things that makes you sick. And it's sin. If you're not keeping His commandments, you die early. You get sick. Okay, let's go on down to the next couple of verses. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Now, this is good advice from the Word of God. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. In other words, you better stay in God's Word. Is that right, Terry?
Yes.
You better stay in the Word. Forsake her not, the Word.
Amen.
And she, the Word, shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Now, what is he talking about? Love her. What's her? The Word. Love the Word. Get in the Word. Study the Word. Get understanding. And the average person, that old book, that's a Bible, you know, that thing was written 2,000 years ago. You know that thing's full of errors. Let me tell you, the book ain't full of errors.
Amen.
It means exactly what it says. And it's amazing how many people are like this email somebody sent me the other day. Now, I don't think this really happened, but I do know this is where the church really is. It said there was a little town. And there was a guy there that was an atheist, and he had a bar and a cavern and all this stuff. And the people there, they had a little church, and they did a couple, two or three churches. And they all got together and prayed that God would close this place down. Well, the guy knew they were praying, but, you know, he's an atheist. He don't believe in God. Well, so they're praying. Well, it wasn't but many days, and lightning struck the place, and it burned down. And when lightning struck and broke it down, well, he went to his insurance company, and the insurance said, well, this is an act of God, so we won't pay for you a new building. So he said, that stupid church, they were the one that was praying, so he said, I'm going to sue them. So he sued the church, said that it was God that tore down his building because they prayed. And whenever he went to court, the people in the church, they said, it wasn't our fault. And so the judge up there, he said, I have never seen a case like this in my life. Here I got an atheist that don't believe in God that says that God burned his church down. Here I got a church that was supposed to believe in God, and they don't say they had anything to do with it. Isn't that the way we are? I mean, we pray for something, God shows up, and then, well, it wasn't God. Yeah, it was God, you know. He does answer prayer, and he is very real. But he tells us what to do here. If we love the word, she shall keep you. And I mean, she'll keep you healthy and happy and prosperous and everything.
Yeah.
And I know that these things are so real that, you know, that I have had the privilege to walk in this. And for 25 years, not being sick, I know since God gave me this job to teach and he knew how difficult this was going to be to try to convince people, I know that's why God has kept me so healthy and why I can be 69 years old and I feel just like I did when I was 30.
Amen.
You know that? I don't feel no different than I did when I was 30. You know, man, I love getting up in the morning, going out and working and doing everything, climbing on top of these buildings, welding, flying airplanes, going and teaching the word. I love it. And I don't get tired. You know, the average guy my age, he works 4 hours and he goes and sits down and says, oh, I'm so tired. I can't. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Praise the King. You need to know Jesus. He's the answer. Okay. Now then, let's go to the next couple of verses today. Wisdom is the principal thing. Now, where can you get wisdom? From God, from the Word. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. I mean, the only place you're going to get all this is from the Word of God. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. So when you embrace wisdom and the Word, it will put you in a new place in life, won't it, son?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's really lifted you up, hadn't it?
Absolutely.
Woo! And you ain't never going to be the same, are you?
Right.
You're just going to get better all the time now. You're going to stay in the Word more now, right? At least your appetite's whet, though, right? When you start seeing God show up, don't you love to see God show up when you pray for somebody like that lady? I love it, too. But you're going to have to teach her a lot because that's standard. You ain't going to believe this. You prayed for me last night. You ain't going to believe this. God really answered my prayer or your prayer. But I hear that all the time, so I know where you're coming from. But when God does show up, and he does, really, in faith. He always shows up for faith. Okay, let's take the next couple of verses. She shall give to your head an ointment of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be few. Is that what he said? The years of your life will be what?
Many.
Now, is that what we want?
Yes.
Hey, we want to live a long, healthy life so we can run and play. I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with dying and going to heaven, but this is pretty good right here, isn't it? We can have good fun right here. I mean, if you're sick and afflicted and tormented and got a devil dragging along behind you, I can understand why you might want to get out of here. But you know, when you're having fun, you know, when God's met all your needs and you're healthy and you're obeying the Word and he gives you many good, healthy years, life's fun, isn't it? Life is really fun whenever you're not sick and afflicted. I know I've had it both ways. In the part when I was sick and afflicted, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. You know, but I do love it, walking in divine health. I really love that. Okay, your years of your life will be many, because who's going to control your life? God is, but he's going to do it according to your obedience. You really technically control your life. You're either going to walk in obedience or you're going to walk in disobedience. And if you walk in obedience, he says your life will be long and you'll have many years. You want to live a long time, young lady? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, what do you got to do? Pay attention to the Word, right? Amen. Okay, let's go to the next verses. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. In other words, if you're walking with God, do you have to worry about anything? You ain't going to stumble. You ain't going to fall. Your path ain't going to, you ain't going to be drawn off over here. Your path's going to be straight. He's going to be guiding. His light's going to be illuminating the path, and he's going to be directing your steps, and you're going to be walking right down the path he wants you to go, and your life is going to be healthy, and you're going to have many, many years. I mean, this is written in the book. Is this written in the book?
Yes.
Okay, this is what he said. Okay, let's go to the next couple of verses. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Ooh. I like that, don't you? She is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Uh-oh. Now, this is some good instructions here, isn't it? Oh, come on, son. I got this special topless bar. Come on, let's me and you go down there tonight to see some of them girls. Oh, you ain't going. Ah, you wimp, you. Come on, go with me. You ain't going, huh?
Not anymore.
But there's a time in a man's life when he don't know these things. He said, sure, let's go down there. Right? You know, isn't it amazing how our interests change when you become a son of God and realize the King made a set of instructions and the disobedience is going to shorten your life? It makes a difference in what you do, doesn't it? And so when you're walking in that kind of way, too, he ain't going to answer your prayer. You ain't going to be smart enough to even come to him and ask him for nothing, are you? Isn't that amazing? So it changes everything about you when you begin to get knowledge of the Word, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sure does, yeah. Take hold of her. Take hold of these instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Let's go to the next verses. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Keep thy sleep, not, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. There's somebody out there trying to get you to fall. And the devil is behind all this. Okay, let's go to the next verses. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. For the path of the just as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Next verse. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, the way of the wicked. This is Satan and his host of demons that are pulling people away every day. Then he says, they don't even know at what they stumble. In other words, he's talking a while ago about us being on a straight path, walking with him. We won't never stumble. But you know, most people never have any idea when they stumble in life or when pains or sickness or things come upon you or you have a car wreck or whatever. Most people never put it together. You walk out of a store and you buy something and you spent $30. You give them $50 bill and you turn around and look and they gave you $30 back instead of $20. You look at that and say, I made $10. Put that in your pocket. Now, did you just steal? Did God say he hates stealing? And so you go out and get in your car and you drive around the corner and somebody pulls out and you ain't got no insurance on your car and you run right into somebody and spend $500 busting up a right front fender. You got liability, but your liability don't cover your car. It covered his car, but not yours. You never put it together that $10 you stole cost you
$500.
Now, if you'd have said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You gave me $10 too much. I did. Here, let me pay you for this. I don't want that $10. And then you get in your car and drive off and you don't have no accidents. Or you get out of a love walk with somebody. God tell you to love? I mean, that's all over the book, isn't it? Walk in love. You get out of a love walk. I mean, you get mad. I mean, your brother comes in and he says something, and I don't like that. You get mad at him. Read him the riot act. And you get in your car and you're so mad you can't stand it. And before you get home, the transmission blows up in your car. Well, if everything else don't go wrong now, the stupid transmission's broke on my car. Hey, your transmission broke because you got all out of love. You know, you opened the door to the devil. Now, if you'd have walked in love, that car might have run 200,000 miles without a hitch. Maybe 300,000. Maybe forever. Isn't that amazing? That all these things work like this. My son, attend to my words. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. What does it mean to attend to God's word? I mean, get it in your heart, right, brother? Get in, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my saying. In other words, be listening. That's what you guys are doing here today. That's what you're here for. You're here to hear God's word. And that's what we're doing. We're talking about it. The next couple of verses. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Have you ever read that scripture anywhere else? Joshua was told that by God in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Hide this law in your heart. Meditate on it once a week. You said once a week's not good enough, is it, young lady? How often did he tell you to meditate on that word? Oh, day and night. And he's telling us the same thing here. Let these words not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So when you're driving down the road in your car, you should be listening to a Christian CD, should you not? You ought to have the tape, Bible on tape, or some good teaching about God's Word in there. Don't be driving down the road listening to somebody done somebody wrong song like I used to do. I mean, you know, that used to be a real song. It may still be out there. I don't know. Somebody done somebody wrong song. You know, I mean, I used to drive down the road. I could sing that with them, you know, just driving down the road. I knew all them old country and western songs. And when the devil come by my house, guess what they did for me? Nothing. Didn't help me at all. Not a thing. So I quit hiding that junk in my heart. I don't have it in there no more. That's the only thing I remember out of that song. Somebody done somebody wrong. Well, whenever you do somebody wrong, guess what? You're setting yourself up for hurt. God's going to hurt you. Let these words not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are
life.
Is that what we're here for today? We want to live. Did Jesus say, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly? Is that what all Christians want? Sure. Well, then why do so few of us live in the abundant life? Well, you know, you got to be one of them name it and claim it bunch. Maybe you got to be like Kenneth Copeland and his bunch. You know, name it and claim it. All I got to say about Kenneth Copeland, he learned something all the rest of us need to learn. He learned how to name it and claim it. And I think about when I heard Kenneth tell on TV one night about how he was up, him and Gloria was up in Colorado somewhere. And I think he said that's where they were. And their grandbaby come under some kind of attack. And she was down here in the hospital. And when the daughter and son-in-law called them, they jumped on an airplane and run down here right quick. And they went to that hospital. And, I mean, they took the word and they prayed. And it wasn't but a matter of hours. They had that girl out of the hospital. And I remember Kenneth saying, you know, it's amazing. We were in there with the word and we got our baby healed in just a little while. But there was all kinds of people in there with people in ICU. And they're sitting out there in the waiting room reading magazines, listening to the television. Ain't nobody got the Bible open. They're just waiting for them to die. Don't have a clue. There's something they could do. Now, that's where most of us are, even in the church. But let these words not depart from your eyes. Let them keep in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Is that what we want here today?
Amen.
These words are health to all our flesh. Now then, let's go ahead to a couple more verses here. Keep your heart with all diligence. All diligence. For out of it are all the issues of life. Out of your heart. This is where it comes from. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now this mouth that we got is it's a real problem. Just like your lady friend. You ain't going to believe this. That come out of her mouth, didn't it? Is that unbelief? Did that please God? And especially after she already seen him heal her. You know, that should have not. You have to teach that girl how to talk. You know that? You got your work cut out for you, son. You know what I mean, right? As a Christian, it is your responsibility to teach that girl. Since she works where you do, and you have touch with all those other believers, it is your job to teach her what the Word says so she can grow in faith to where you are. See, that's your job. That's my job. All of our jobs is to teach other believers about the Word so they can walk where God wants them to. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, but somebody said, well, I don't want to get involved. God says, oh, you don't want to produce fruit for my kingdom? You don't want to produce fruit? Oh, you know what he does to people that don't produce fruit? Somebody said he would not do that to me. Well, let's put the tabs on that right there, and let's go to John 15:2, Dave. And let's see what John 15:2 under the New Covenant says. Let's just go over and read that, John 15:2. We'll come back to Proverbs 4. in just a minute. But in every branch, how many?
Every.
But you're his favorite. I got news for you. He don't have any favorites. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So like this young man up here said a while ago when we was quoting that, he said, it makes no difference. You're going to get cut either way you go. But it's better to get cut a little than to get cut off, right? So when you get cut off, I don't care what you've done. If you stop bearing fruit for the kingdom when you get home, you know how much reward you're going to get? None. He tells us that. If you don't bear fruit up to the last, to the end, if you don't remain faithful for him, I will give you no rewards. And that makes bearing fruit to the very end worthwhile. I'd hate to think about going home after what he did for you and me and produce no fruit for his kingdom. That'd be kind of sad, wouldn't it? Walk in one day and say, well, welcome home. You're home a little early. You know, that's the first thing you don't want to hear, right? Oh, you're only 50 years old and you're already home. I planned for you to live to be 95, but you didn't do exactly what I told you. So welcome home, son. Oh, you didn't do any works for me. Oh, well, come on in. How would you like for the king to say that for you? You don't want to hear that, do you? You want him to slap you on the back at 95 and say, well done, son. Come on in this house. You're welcome. You produce lots of fruit for my kingdom. That's what you want to hear him say, right? Absolutely. That's what everybody wants to hear him say. We take this Christianity a little too laxed. We don't realize what he done for us. And we just think, well, you know, I get saved and it just go ahead and work as usual. No. I mean, produce fruit for the kingdom. Be a ball of fire. I mean, that's why he called you salt and light. You know, he put you out there in the mint amongst those sickness and disease. So when you dump your salt in that raw wound, what's it supposed to do to it? It's supposed to burn. It's supposed to purge out the evil. That's what he made you to do. Then he says, let's go back to Proverbs 4. And let's go to the next couple of verses. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Now, let me tell you, men, some men got a real problem when it comes to eyes. And some women have a real problem because they cause the men to have a problem. Some women don't dress properly. Some Christian women don't dress properly. Now, I can understand if you go into a restaurant and there's or somewhere you're walking down the street, you know, and there's lost and saved people, and some girl's walking down the street with a top on that covers only a little tiny portion of the top, and it's split plumb to her navel. I understand the world living there. But all the guys, as she walks by, guess what the guys are doing? I'm sure they're watching this girl. They're looking at her. Yeah, but that's what she wants. She wants to draw attention. And then, of course, she goes around the corner and gets raped, you know, when she steps into a dark alley, and then she's mad at the world because she got raped. Well, you know, she brought it on herself. But Christian women should be different. Christian women should dress to draw attention to their face and not to their body. You should dress accordingly. Dress nice, dress beautiful, you know, but don't wear something that's cut down to the middle. So when you lean over, you can see everything on the top. Because if you do that, guys are going to look. Even Christian guys look. Unless they're really, really, really good, great men of God, that will have an impact on them. You know, so you girls, don't entice them. Y'all understand where I'm coming from, girls? Don't be, you know, that's right. Don't be involved in this kind of thing. Dress so the eyes will look right on and not where they're not supposed to. And let your eyelids look straight before thee. Don't have the roaming eye. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Because if you don't, this is going to bring sickness and disease into your life. It's going to make you sick. Let's go on to the next couple of verses. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. No. How much evil should we have as Christians?
None.
Absolutely right. Not one single bit. Okay, let's go on. 5:1-2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that you mayest regard discretion, and that your lips may keep knowledge. Now, he's telling you what to do here. This Proverbs 4:5 is a very powerful set of verses. And then let's go to the next couple of verses. For the lips of a strange woman. Now, there's a lot of them around. I was just telling them at dinner last night, and of course, a couple of my daughters, I call these girls my daughters. You know, they're all my daughters. You know, I'm so grateful that after God took away my one real daughter, that he gave me a whole bunch of beautiful daughters to love. And so we got these girls. Anyway, we were sitting in there last night, and I was telling them, I said, one time years ago, my wife and I and a friend of mine's wife and him, they came down and had a meeting in Dallas they wanted us to go to. So we went with them down there to this meeting. When the meeting is over, on the way back, we're driving down the road, and he said, oh, Thurman, I'm going to stop in here to my favorite place, and we're going to have a beer. I said, well, we may stop in here, but I'll drink a Coke. You know, at that time, I didn't know Cokes are just as bad for me as beer. But I don't drink Cokes either anymore. But I used to drink Cokes and Dr. Peppers. So anyway, we pulled in there. And when we pulled in, I said, this is a topless club. This is a beer place. You know what I mean? A tavern. He said, well, sure. My wife and I stop here all the time when we're down here. I said, what? So, hey, I'll come on in, Thurman. Let's have a beer. Okay, I'll go in and drink a Coke with you. Now, my wife's with me. We go in and we sit down, and he sits down right on the front of this platform. And there's a girl comes out there, and she has got virtually nothing on. And by the time she gets through, she ain't got nothing on. Not a thing. And she's dancing right in front of our face. I sat there and watched him drink that beer, and I said, you know, I don't think we ought to be in this place. I really think we ought to go somewhere else. So we got up and left. And I never go anywhere with that couple anymore. That's not exactly what I enjoy. You know that? I was able to sit there and look at that woman. It had no effect on me. You know, not really. But I thought, you know, I feel sorry for that poor girl. I prayed for that girl. That girl is there. And, of course, this guy is there hollering at her. Take it off, you know, throwing her another 20s up on them until she got it all off. You know, she had a whole platform full of $20 bills. You know, every man in that place that didn't know Jesus, was probably most of them, and that woman, if any of them died that night, you know where they're all going? To hell. That's sad. So that's why I prayed for them. I thought, wow. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Isn't that something? But her end is bitter as wormwood, and it's sharp as a two-edged sword. Ooh, most guys don't know this. Verse 4:5-6. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now, how many men that are Christians that mess around at these taverns and bars and sleep with some of these girls? Now, guys, if you're a Christian, God's going to hold you accountable for this. You know that? And you know you may die, and you may wind up in hell, but yet you thought you were a Christian. But he says her feet go down to death. So if you're sleeping around with one of them prostitutes, guess what's going to happen to you pretty quickly? You're going to die. You're going to die. And then he said, and her steps go on down to hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. You can't really know her. Let's go to the next couple of verses. Hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not near the door of her house. Let's look at these next couple of verses. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto who? The cruel? Who did we learn a while ago is the cruel one? You want to give your years to him? You think he could make your life miserable? You think he could bring venereal disease upon you? You think he could bring AIDS upon you, and then you die with this AIDS or syphilis or something like that as your body rots away? Do you not have the answer for AIDS? Abstinence.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Guarantee. You know how it is amazing how God made sex. He made a man and a woman. And he says, it is absolutely taboo outside of marriage. When you get married, he said, I just bless the marriage bed. You know, it's amazing how you can take a man and a woman that's not married, and they can go out, and or they say a man and a woman that is married, and they can have sex, and they never catch a venereal disease. Here's another man and woman, and they're married, and they have sex, and they never catch a venereal disease. But this man and this woman, they get together outside of wedlock, and they have an encounter. Both of them supposedly are clean, but when they walk away from there, both of them's got a venereal disease. Somebody says, how'd that happen? Who do you think? Who did they give themselves to? The cruel one. And can the cruel one put venereal disease upon two people?
Yeah.
Yes, he can. Yeah. He can do it to you.
He put balls on old Joe, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He put them biggins on him, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that devil put boils on him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet.
Yeah.
Now then, he's still in that business. I don't want to give my years to the cruel, do you? I don't want to die at 40 or 50 years of age like so many young men do. I mean, they go out. I know when I was in Vietnam, I mean, the doctors, the surgeon general come to us and says, guys, whatever you do, don't go downtown to these prostitutes downtown. He said, these girls all got some kind of venereal disease. And he said, we've checked several of them here in this area. Since y'all are coming here, we went down there and checked them. And he said, they all got some kind of a venereal disease. And said, some of them got 2, 3, and 4 different kinds. And some of them, we don't even know what they are. So he said, whatever you do, don't go to town. And guess what? Lots of guys went to town anyway. One of the guys I knew was a good friend in my outfit. He was married and had 3 children. And he went down there and caught some kind of awful disease. We were down there 6 weeks in that area. And when he got back, when he's going to come home, now he's got this incurable venereal disease. What's he going to do when he gets back home? I mean, he's got a wife at home. You know, most wives enjoy having sex with their husbands. But what's he going to do? He better not have it, because if he does, then she's going to have it. And then there's going to be a real problem. Then she's going to know. I mean, she's already going to know. Isn't that awful? Did he have to catch that? Nope. All he had to do is do what God says. Be obedient to the Word. That's all it takes. So then people want you to pray over them, get them healed. Now, I know of a woman. I know the woman that this happened to, this Christian woman. She had a healing ministry also. And she's a little older than me, but she has a tremendous healing ministry, or did have. She's about 80-something, 85 now. But she did have a great healing ministry. And there was a woman come down an aisle one day, and she told me, I was down here at Daystar one day, she told me about this. She said, there was a woman coming down an aisle to be prayed for, and said, as she's on the way down there, the Lord spoke to me and said, that woman coming down the aisle has this disease, and the reason she has it because she fantasizes about a movie star when she's having sex with her husband. So she said, when the woman walked up, she said, you have this disease? She said, how'd you know? She said, the Lord just told me that's what you have. She said, you know why you have it? She said, I have no idea. She said, the Lord told me you have it because you fantasize about a movie star when you have sex with your husband. She said, nobody knows that. She said, God knows it, and he just told me. Now I know it. So she said, God's merciful. If you'll repent, he'll forgive you, and I'll pray for it, and he'll heal you. She repented, made God a promise she'd never do it again, and the lady prayed for her, and the woman got healed. But about 6 months later, that woman was back. She's walking down that aisle. No word from God this time. When she come up, she said, "What's your problem?" She said, "The disease come back." She said, "Are you fantasizing about that movie star again?" The woman says, "I can't help myself." Hey, I got news for you. You can help yourself. You know that?
Take your thoughts captive.
Sure. Take the thoughts captive. She didn't want to take the thoughts captive. And so it came back. The woman said, "Well, if you repent, I'll pray for you." She repented and said, "Lord, I won't never do it again." She prayed for her, and she didn't get healed. Last time I knew, she said, last time I had a contact with that woman, she still had that disease. Some people get healed once or twice. But you know, there comes a time when God says, "No, that's it. Enough's enough. That's right. I'm fed up with this." And they die early. Wow. Scary, isn't it? You want to give your years to the cruel?
No.
Nope, me neither. So you need to stay away from the places where there's prostitutes. And you don't want to be one, right? Absolutely not. Because if you are, what are you going to give your life to? The cruel one. It's going to make you sick. You know, the average young man don't know that, do they? No, they don't know that. That's right there in God's Word, isn't it, son? You know, I ain't teaching, like you said, I'm teaching a hard gospel, isn't it?
That's right.
Ooh, but I don't draw no punches, do I? God said it, I say it. And I guess that's why He answers my prayer. That's why when people repent, I love to see God answer my prayer. Don't you, Terry?
Yeah.
I love it. Yes, praise God. We love to see God answer our prayer. Okay, now let's go to Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 7. I want to show you something here. Proverbs 16, 1 through 7. There's some great stuff here. Proverbs 16, 1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, your tongue is a very, very important thing. Now, if you've never heard the teaching on the tongue, you need to make sure you get a copy of the teaching on the tongue. It's either two cassettes or three CDs. But get a copy of that and listen to that and learn about your tongue. Because if you don't learn how to talk God's Word, you will not be able to get healed and stay healed. You have to learn to confess God's Word. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirit. You know, so I can now understand what Paul said when he says, you know, as far as I know, I'm not sinning against no man. But God is my ultimate judge. But my goal to walk today is with no sin. Is that your goal, son?
Yes, sir.
That's your goal. Now then, we may mess up somewhere because God's weighing the heart, and we really don't know what's in there, do we? But we're going to try our best to walk holy before Him every day of our life, aren't we?
Yes.
We ain't going to go out there and do something stupid and sin, especially intentionally, are we?
No.
Because if you sin intentionally, there is nothing but a fiery judgment of God to come upon you. You know that? After you have the knowledge of the truth. Now then, after let's go to 3 and 4, Dave. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all things for Himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, you know, I read that a lot of times before I finally got revelation on that. I didn't understand that. I says, "Lord, You made all things." I don't have a problem with that. I know You made all things. But it says He made all things for Himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. You know what I used to think that meant? I thought there's some people God just made wicked and they can't be saved. Have you ever heard teaching like that from different preachers?
Now,
I have. I have. It's a shame that I thought for a while that God made some people wicked and there was just virtually no chance of them being saved. And then one day I finally got revelation. I looked it up in the Hebrew and saw what it meant. And He's talking about the devil and his demons. God. Yeah, sure. God made the wicked, that in other words, He made the wicked for the day of evil. So when you come to the day of evil and you do something wrong, God made the wicked to sin against you. Do you know that? When you come to your evil day, in other words, you're going to sin today. You know, you've been tempted with something, and you're going to do something that's wrong. And how many of us have ever done something that was wrong? All of us. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now then, when we sin, when that day of evil comes, He sends the wicked one to us whenever we sin. That's the cruel one. I don't want to give him nothing, do you? I don't want that day of evil. We don't realize that God is with us all the time, and if He wasn't merciful, somebody said, well, how about God's mercy? Let me tell you, if God wasn't merciful, and if He wasn't forgiving, there wouldn't be a person in this room today. We would all be dead and in hell. You know that? And most of us have sinned many times even after we got saved. I mean, some of us have lived in sin after we got saved. I mean, some of us lied every day. Some of us stole from our man that we work for every day. I'm not thinking, hey, God don't, nobody knows this. Well, I'm not going to steal much. Be like the guy that his little son got caught for stealing a pencil at school. And he's called on the carpet, and Daddy comes down. He said, what did you do? He said, well, Dad, I needed a pencil, and I didn't have one. So I had to get one off the teacher's desk. Well, I realize that's stealing, but, you know, I tried to do it with nobody watching, but somebody saw me. He said, my goodness, son, if you need a pencil, won't you come to me? I'll bring you one home from the office. Is there any difference? No. No, he's Daddy's stealing. See, we don't realize the things we steal, do we? I mean, the company owes that to me, right? No, they don't owe that to you. You know, they don't owe that to you. And if you teach people these principles, like this one of the young men that worked with me for years, that he was one of my best leads down at DFW Airport, whenever they used to take parts and put on their boats and their cars and everything else. And I saw some of them doing it. One said, guys, this is stealing. Oh, he said, Thurman, you know, the company owes us this. I said, no, they agreed to pay you this much money. I said, at the end of the week or the month or whatever, do they pay you? Well, yeah. I said, well, they pay you. They don't owe you nothing. Not a dime. If you agree to work for $100 a day or $100 a week or whatever you agreed to work for, I said, when they pay you, they don't owe you nothing. And so I said, that does not give you the right to take things home with you. Well, he heard me teach that. Then one day he was getting ready of Friday, and he was going to, it had a weekend, and he was going to, beautiful weekend, and he had a boat, but he needed a little quarter-inch brass nipple about 2 inches long to go on the water system on his boat. So we had all kinds of them in the bin back. He goes, picks one up, puts it in his pocket, no conviction. He's still on the company premises. He walks out the front door. When he does, something hit him right between the eyes and said, you just stole that fitting. I wonder what that was, brother. Must have been the Holy Ghost, huh? Yeah, just the Holy Ghost. Now, see, he hadn't sold it till he walked out that door. As long as he's on company property, he hadn't sold it. He could have went and put it on a machine or anything. But when he walked out that front door, the Holy Spirit said, you stole that fitting. Now, he's thinking, I didn't steal that thing. They owe that to me. He said, I got out there, and all that was bothering me, I went out to my boat that afternoon. I put that thing on. He said, I'm going to go to the lake. And he said, next morning I woke up early, and I said, that's bothering me. And I finally said, I went up to the hardware store and bought another one and come and took that one off and put the new one on, put that back in my pocket. He said, Thurman, I want you to know I put that back in the bin this morning when I did. All that conviction left. He said, you know, I hate this. And then he looked at me and said, no, I really love it. He said, until you taught me the truth, who knows how many times I stole stuff from this company with no conviction because he'd never been taught the truth of God's word. But was God holding him accountable? Yes, he was. And he wondered why he'd had so many accidents, why he'd been sick so much and all these things. And so I told him, I said, you quit stealing from this company and you walk in faith and you won't have to be sick no more and you won't never run out of money. And boy, when I left there 7 total years later, when I left, he said, you know, I am so glad I met you. He said, I'm in better shape now than I've ever been. He said, I tell you, he said, I hadn't had any more problems. Everything's better in my family. My bills are paid and I don't have any debt. My truck's paid for. He said, I never lived in a place like this till I met you. Well, what happened? He started walking in obedience to God's word. When you walk in obedience to God's word, does he promise to bless you? Sure he does. He promises it. But this right here in verse 4, the Lord has made all things. Now, who made all these things?
The
Lord. Real clear, isn't it? For himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. So, who made the devil and his demons?
The Lord.
Of course, that's not the only place he tells us that. But that's one of the places. Okay, let's go to the next couple of verses. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. If you've got pride in your heart, that'll make you sick. If it's an abomination to God, it will make you sick. Though your hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. If you got a proud heart, are you going to be punished? Yeah. So if you got a proud heart, what do you need to do with it? Get rid of it. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When you get a hold of the fact that God can sock you, it's real easy. You know, it's just like a young man. When a young man's at home, do y'all have children? Okay, if y'all have children and you're a good daddy whenever your children, you got any sons?
Yes, I do.
Okay. When your son was a little guy and he was growing up, if he knew daddy didn't like something and you told him not to do something, and when you come home and eat it and mama said, your son? You know how they would say, you know, I've had that. And the reason I can say this because I've been there. Your son was a very bad boy today. He did this. And now you need to take care of your son. And so you take him and give him a spanking or whatever because he did break the rules. And if you really lay one on him, the next time the mama says, you better not do that no more. I'll tell your daddy when he gets home and he remembers what happened. And with that, mama's got control. You know what I mean, young lady? I mean, that boy, he ain't afraid of you, but he's afraid of him. And the fear of the Lord does the same thing. When we learn that God can put a hurt on you and me, hey, we straighten our act up, don't we? Just like them children. That's pretty smart. And the fear of the Lord, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Man, I ain't going down to one of them bars and hang out with one of them prostitutes, are you? Ain't no way you get me down there. I know what it'll do. I know what the Word says. You know, I ain't going down there. I ain't going to go hang out with nobody that's doing those kind of things because I know what God says it'll do. And I don't want to go to hell and I don't want to die with sickness and disease. I sure don't want to give my life to the cruel one. But he says he will. But there's a lot of people in the church that's sick and afflicted because of this. You know, you probably have no idea how many men and women that Cheryl and I deal with that's in the church that when we find the problem, they can't make it, they're sick, they're afflicted, and when we talk to them, they're divorced, but they're living with somebody out of wedlock. And the guy's not even a Christian. You know if he's a Christian? Well, no, I don't think so. He don't act like one. Well, you ain't acting like one either if you're sleeping with him. And she wonders why she's got all these problems. And she's crying on our shoulder. And she can't pay her rent and all this kind of stuff. I said, hey, you need to kick him out. You need to start obeying God. And then God he'll forgive you. And now that's the beautiful part about God. If you repent, kick him out, and ask forgiveness, he'll forgive you, won't he?
That's right.
And that's the good part about living on this side of the cross instead of that side of the cross. Over here, the Lord will forgive us. Okay, verse 7. Let's see what that says. I think that's as far as we're going there. When a man's ways please the Lord. Oh, yeah, this is the last one on this proverb. That's a woman too, Terry.
That's right.
When a person's ways please the Lord. Now, my honey bunny and I, that we are striving diligently to please the Lord. Aren't we, honey?
Amen.
Amen. We want to please him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And who is your enemy? The cruel one. The devil and his demons. The devil, I can just see the devil now and say, let me get him, God. No. He's a good boy. You know, he's a good boy. He's in my word. He's producing fruit for the kingdom. But let me just get him. No. You can't touch him. You're going to have to be at peace with him. Because it is written. You mean I got to be at peace with him? The Lord says, yeah. He said, okay, if that's the case, then I'll be at peace with him. And he leaves you alone. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Do you want your enemies to be at peace with you?
Absolutely.
I do too. But when a man's ways please the Lord. Well, what do you got to do to please him? You got to read all these things he said do and do them, right?
Be a doer of the word.
Be a doer of the word. That's right. When a man's or a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And when your enemy is at peace with you, you will have no sickness and disease. It will not come upon you. You don't have to have it. Because where does sickness and disease come from? The devil, the cruel one. That's right. Just like this gentleman said there a while ago, he really put them sores and boils on Job, didn't he? Yes, he did. And that's a perfect example of what happens. Okay, let's go to, I got so many good scriptures here, but I'm going to skip a few of them. Time gets by too quick. Let's go to Psalms 101, verses 1 through 8. I want you to see this. There's a lot of... In fact, I'm not going to skip those, Dave. Just a minute. We're going to go back. We're going to go to Proverbs 17, verse 5 and verse 11. I'll just isolate it down to a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 17, 5. Go to Proverbs 17, 5. Whosoever mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Somebody says, what? I mean, but Joe, he got what he deserved. Frank, my goodness gracious, that guy don't like him no way. And if he didn't get that job, praise God, I'm glad for his calamity. Or he wrecked his car last week. Praise God, I'm glad he wrecked that car. What happens to you when you do that? What does God say about you? If you're glad at calamities, what does God say he's going to do to you? You shall not be unpunished. You ever seen anybody in church that laughed at somebody's problems? We ain't going to do it no more, though, are we? See, the more you get the knowledge of the Word changes you, doesn't it? The fear of the Lord. Now then, somebody says, I ain't afraid of God. Oh, you ain't got no knowledge at all. You're plumb stupid. You know, I mean, wow. He laughing at you. I mean, it's amazing. Okay, but we see what he does. And then let's go to verse 11 in that same chapter. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Isn't that something? An evil man. If you're a man and you're evil and you're doing bad things, what's God going to send to cause you to have a bad day? A devil. A demon. Isn't that something? Well, me evil? Me wicked? No, I'm a Christian. I'm washed in the blood. You need to listen to Dave's teaching on me wicked. You know that any time you break God's rules and you get away from what he says, although you're his son, you know what he calls you?
Wicked.
Wicked. That's exactly right. Me, wicked? And when you're wicked, you're evil. And if you're evil and you're breaking his rules, what does he send against you? The cruel one. A demon. I mean, this book's pretty awesome when you read it, isn't it, son? Wow. It'll change your life forever. It'll straighten you up. You know, I like walking in divine health. Don't you, Terry?
Yes, I do.
Don't you, Frank? Sure. We like it not going to the doctor. I mean, this couple up here on the front row, they have spent years in doctors, always spent money. And then when they got everything right with God, no more doctors.
That's right.
And it's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Their complete testimony is on the DVD back there, program 2, 3, and 4. On DVD number 1 about testimonies of miraculous healings. We had to use 3 30-minute shows to get their testimonies. So big and so powerful. But if you haven't heard the testimonies of miraculous healings, 2 DVDs, you need to get them. There's a whole bunch of people on there that were miraculously healed. And you get to see the people that they happened to. And, of course, the first one is Johnny Brumfield, and Johnny's the one that had to crush knees for 21 months, hadn't walked a step in 21 months. And I got the privilege of praying the prayer of faith for Johnny and seeing the King instantly heal those two crushed knees, and that man jumped up and began to run all over the place. Wow, what a God we serve, huh? Wow. Now, the next thing I want to see is like I prayed for, let's see, what was that guy's name? What was the manager's nation? Mike? Down there, I think his name was Mike at the radio station that born with the arm right here. I prayed for him when I was there yesterday. I didn't see his arm grow back. I believe it's going to. But you know what I'd have loved to have seen? Oh, I'd have loved to see that arm. Wouldn't you, young lady? Pray for somebody and see it. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Brother, would that light our fire? That lit my fire. When I knelt down there in front of Johnny Brumfield that night down there in Louisiana, put my hands on them knees and prayed and asked the Father in Jesus' name to give him two new knees. I said, now get up and walk. And he got up and started running all over the place. Wow. I was like, I'm walking in a fog. I don't know. It is awesome to see God do these wonderful things. I love serving Jesus. Don't you?
Amen.
The King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. He's awesome. Praise the King. Okay, but he tells us the things he don't like too. And we've got to get this too. If we're evil and we seek only rebellion, he'll send a demon to torment you. I don't like that. But I'm not the boss. He is. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 19, verse 5. And we're just going to hit three verses in 19. We're going to hit 5, 9, and 23. Proverbs 19, 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished. I mean, that's sealed. If you're going to be a false witness, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be punished. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. You can't get away from him. So is it good as a Christian to learn when he says don't lie one to another? Does it pay good dividends to do what he says? Yes. You don't want to go there. If you do, it's going to make you sick and afflict you. It's going to cause a devil to come to get you. Now let's go to verse 9. Proverbs 19:9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Is it a good thing to have fear of God? I think so. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. And look at that next line. He shall not be visited with the devil. Ooh, do you like that one, son? That pays good dividends, doesn't it? Ooh. In other words, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. In other words, if you got fear of God, you ain't going to go out, just like I was telling that story a while ago about you and your husband. When that son gets a little rowdy, son, remember what daddy did to you last time when you did? Oh, yes, mama. Well, you better straighten your act up and won't you see, unless you want some more of that. Yes, mama, I'll be a good boy. You know what I mean, don't you? You have power because you got a daddy, a husband that's a good daddy, and that boy knows if he's their tormenting mother. And when daddy comes home, he going to get in his backside. And he will straighten up when you talk to him after that. And that's why God put a man and a woman together in a family. Because when a little boy gets 10, 12, 14 years old, these poor girls that their husband, these rotten critters that runs off and leaves their family. I mean, I ain't got nothing good to say about you boys. You know, if you run off and left your wife, I ain't got nothing good to say about you. You know, because you weren't a man. You know, but those men and women that stay together and raise their children together, those are the ones that raise up good children. If daddy goes off in the world somewhere and she's trying to raise a little guy by herself and he gets big and she can't really control him, he just gets uncontrollable. And then you raise a little hellion and you raise up somebody that has no knowledge of the word. And then he goes out and gets on drugs and in trouble, in jail and everything else. All because he didn't have a daddy at home. Sad, isn't it? But it's happening to millions of them. I mean, they're all over the place. You know, all over the place. We were just talking a while ago. I don't want to, brag on him too much, but for a 19-year-old, this little guy sitting on the front right here, he's as spiritual a young man for 19 as I've met in a long time. And his mom and dad, if we were talking, they are very proud of him. Aren't we, Daddy and Mama? Yeah, he is a fine young man. He walks with God. And he's got more faith. I mean, got more faith than any 19-year-old I believe I've seen. But that's the way every 19-year-old should be. Praise the King. Now then, Daddy only wished that he had that kind of faith when he was 19. But he didn't even know Jesus when he was 19. And so that's what's so sad. But praise the Lord, that's why we as the body of Christ have to do something about this and teach our children the Word of God so they will grow up as fine young men. In fact, Casey wanted to work for the ministry. And a prophet or something told him that in 2007 he was going to go to work for the Living Savior Ministries. Well, he was standing in faith January, February, November, December. No chance. He's getting down to the end. Lord, you told me I could go to work out there in 2007. Cheryl called him and put him to work on the 31st of December of 2007. God put you to the test, didn't he, Casey? He promised you you'd get to go to work for the ministry in 2007. He waited till the last day to test the boy. That's okay. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's okay. You didn't grumble and complain about it, did you? No, absolutely not. See, God was testing you. He is showing you that he is a God that tests. And he requires faith. And when you don't grumble and complain, say, Lord, we're down to the end of the wire. You promised me I was going to work out there. Now I'm waiting for them to call. And they call. Isn't that amazing? And he gets to go to work for us. Isn't God good? Amen. He'll test you though, won't he, brother? Yes, he will. He will test you. Okay. Now we're going to go to Psalms 101, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 101, verses 1 through 8. I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee. O Lord, will I sing. Now, do y'all sing to the Lord?
Amen.
You drive down the road. That's when I sing the most to him because most people don't like my singing. But God does. He gave me this voice, so I don't have to offend nobody. But I can sing praises to the Lord. One night a young man was with me, and I'm driving down the road after church, and I was so on fire. God had done so many wonderful things. And I was singing, How Great Thou Art. And he was driving over talking on his cell phone. And I started singing, How Great Thou Art. I was thinking about what God had done. Man, he hung that phone up, and he started singing with me. I mean, we sang that whole song. When we got to the end of it, he said, Praise God, we should have had a recorder. And he said, That was Sal. Obviously, he liked it too. But we were singing unto the Lord. Now, did the Lord say for us to sing unto him? Yes, he does. He loves it when we sing to him. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. Does he? That's just like a young man in Bible study here a while back. I have a Bible study on Tuesday night, 7 to 9. And I was talking about how we need to be sinless. And this young man said, he's sitting back here, he said, Sir, I got a question. I said, Yes, sir, what's your question? He said, You're telling us to be sinless. I guess the next thing you're going to say, we're supposed to be perfect. He said, You know nobody can be sinless. I said, Speak for yourself. I ain't going there with you. I said, If you don't think we can be sinless and be perfect, I'm going to let the Word answer that itself. I said, I want you to go to Matthew 5:48. And I want you to see what Jesus told us to do. What does Matthew 5:48 say? Be ye therefore perfect. And then he gave you an example. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You think the Father in heaven is perfect? That's your goal, isn't it, son? Not some flippant Christian that just walks and don't care whether he sins or not sin. You're supposed to be sinless. And you're supposed to be perfect. Because Jesus... Now, do you think Jesus would tell you to do something you couldn't do? Of course he wouldn't. I mean, if he did, that'd make him a fool, wouldn't it? But he told us what we can do. We just don't believe him. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now then, if you walk perfect, guess how much sickness and disease you'll have? None. That's the beautiful part about it. You won't have any. Now let's go back over there to that Psalm 101 where we were. And let's go to the, we'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. Is that the goal? That's where we're supposed to be. Walk everywhere. Not when you're just in your house, but when you're walking down the street, when you're going down, I mean, everywhere, wherever you go. In fact, we stopped at a restaurant here a while back, and there was four or five or six of us one evening after church, and we went in here, and we're eating, and we're praying over everything. They bring the water, we pray over it. They bring the tea, we pray over it. They bring the salad, we pray over it. They bring the main course, we pray over it. Then they come by and refill the water glasses, and we pray over it. And we pray out loud, you know. I mean, so that everybody can hear, you know. We're not whispering this. We're praying like we're the only people in a restaurant. We started to pay out. And I said, bring the bill. And the girl says, there is no bill. I said, what? No, she said, those two men that were over there, they paid for y'all's dinner, all of y'all. I said, well, do we know who they are? She said, yeah, they left her card. So she handed me to, and it was two preachers. Two preachers. I didn't see them pray over nothing. I didn't hear them talk about Jesus. But obviously we inspired them, so they paid for our dinner. Praise the King. God's good, isn't he? He'll even move on a couple of preachers to pray your bill. I love it, don't you? I love serving Jesus. He's so much fun. Oh, goodness. Okay, let's go to verse 3 and 4 there, Dave. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now then, I shouldn't do this. I started to say, how many of you got a television in your house? Do you watch it? Don't hold up your hand. If you watch the television, you got some wicked things before your eyes. You know that? And you want to know why you got problems. But the Lord says here, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You know, you can't watch television. I threw my television, took it out of the house, I don't even know how many years ago, but many years ago. And there's virtually, in fact, once in a while, Cheryl and I will be in a hotel. And when we are in a hotel, they always got TV. And so I'll try to flip to where CNN is, just see what's going on in Israel. You know, I'm kind of interested in what's going on in Israel. And so you cannot flip from channel to channel looking for CNN without seeing something that offends you as a Christian. You know that? I mean, you can see everything, wicked things. Yes, ma'am.
If you watch CNN, you're not going to get the truth about what's going on.
And that's probably true, too. That's probably true, too. In fact, I don't believe you can watch any news that's really truthful. You know, it's just like the newspaper. I remember one time when Tim was still in high school, and he was going to the Christian school up here in Denton. They've now moved out here in Argyle. But at that time, they were in Denton. And he wanted to get the newspaper and the next morning and see what about, because he had some good runs. And he got the newspaper and read it, and he comes, Dad, look at this. Last night, according to the newspaper, I made 3 touchdowns and made 175 yards rushing. I said, son, you only made, I think he said he made 3 touchdowns. I said, but you only made 2. And I said, you only had 125 yards rushing. He said, well, yeah, I know that. But said, boy, that makes me look good, doesn't it? I said, son, don't ever believe what the newspaper says. I said, Dad, that looks good. I said, okay, next week he made 3 touchdowns and 175 yards. And they said he made 1 and had about 70 yards. He said, Dad, I don't like this. I said, oh, you can take the good, but you don't want the bad, huh? I said, so see, right there's a perfect example. You can't trust what somebody puts in that paper. They don't know. So you really can't tell. But I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. God wants you to watch what you put in front of your eyes. He wants you to watch good things. In fact, Cheryl and I have ministered to people, mostly men, that have been hung on pornography. Young men, 40, 45 years old, that had cancer in their eye because they were looking at sin on the internet or on magazines, and it brought cancer in their eyes. And if they repent, one man especially, he repented, we prayed for him, he got healed. And less than a year later, it came back. And when I called his wife, after she put a call in, I said, has he gone back to his pornography? She said, he has. And it wasn't long. That young man died and left a wife and 3 children. He died with eye cancer because looking at the wrong things. Now, it's really something that if you probably don't have a Catholic Bible, but I read one every once in a while. I have one. And in the Book of Wisdom, there is a scripture. Do we have that translation, Dave? The Book of Wisdom? You can't bring that up, right? Okay. In the Book of Wisdom, chapter 11, it makes a statement. It says, whatever you sin with, that is what will be attacked. So if you sin with your eyes, that's what's going to be attacked. If you're always going around telling lies, speaking evil about people, you're going to have lip problems, mouth problems, teeth problems, throat problems. That's just the way it is. You sin sexually, you'll have problems with your sex organs. That's just the way it is. Women have cancer of the uterus. Men have venereal diseases. All kinds of things. That's what you're sinning with. Strange, isn't it? God put all this in the book. And we don't believe it. But it's there. It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. God ain't going to know you if you're a wicked person. He's not going to know you. In fact, how many of you ever read this scripture in the New Testament at when the man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I want to come into heaven. He said, I don't know you. But Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. He said, I still don't know you. So somebody says, but I knew you. Hey, I know George Bush, too. And he lives right down here, not very far. And every time I go to fly down in that area when he's home, there's a great big blue circle on my chart, on my airplane. And you know what that blue circle means? You don't fly in there. If you fly in there, they're going to send a fighter out there. And if you don't turn and go the other way, he sees you're a little puddle jumper or something. And if that guy flies up like this and says, you better get the other way. And if you say, nah, I'm going on down there. Well, hey. He's going to put up with you for a few minutes, and then in a few minutes, he's going to shoot a missile, and he's going to knock you out of the sky. You ain't never going to get to George Bush. Now then, if I know him, but he don't know me.
That's right.
Although he lives right here in Texas, if I were just to pick up the phone and say, George, I understand you're going to be home this weekend. Yeah, Thurman, come on down to visit me. Laying right in my front yard. Bring your airplane. Come on. So I get my airplane head down there, and when I start in there, they call me, and I say, oh, I know, brother, I know George Bush. He's my good friend. The guy calls, and, oh, George, oh, yeah, that's it. That's Thurman. That's my buddy. Y'all escort him in. Bring him right on down. But if George says, I don't know who he is, I never heard of him, shoot him down. That's kind of the way it is with Jesus. Yeah, I know Jesus, but does he know me? You know, that's the secret. The Lord, they said, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. He said, I know you did, but I didn't know you. Into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That wouldn't be too much fun, would it? No. I never knew you. That's right. I never knew you. So, see, you want to make sure the king knows you. You know, how are you going to get him to know you? You're going to get in his word. You're going to accept him as Lord and Savior. You're going to get in there and you're going to be reading and studying the word, and you're going to be in his doorstep. And when you come back and say, Lord, here I am this morning. I'm back. He says, good. Welcome. I love you. And you spend an hour or two with him. Well, one day when you get ready to go home and you live all these long years, you've obeyed the word, you've done everything it says, and you have no sickness and disease. One day you're 190, 100, 110, 120, still healthy as a horse. And he says, I just can't stand it. Do you just like I did Enoch? I can't stand it no more. I'm just going to bring you to the house, snatch you right out. You were translated home with Jesus. Can't you just imagine you're just running, having a good time, working? I can just see it now. I'm still working on expanding this church. I'm 110 years old. I step down here one morning, and I take a step, and I think, wow, Lord, what happened? This church sure did change. Translated me out. Was that the way you want to go home, brother? Yes. And that's why when I go home and I get there, I want the king to be standing there saying, come on in here, son. Well done. Don't you, Ida? Amen. Praise the king. That's right. We're going to see him as he is. Praise the Lord. I've got, some of y'all don't know Ida, but this precious lady, I got to tell her story. She's a wonderful, beautiful lady that loves Jesus with all her heart. But she's wavering some on faith like a lot of us do. She came to me and she had a problem, a serious problem, breast cancer. And she wanted me to pray for her. I said, you get all your sins repented of, I pray for you and God will heal you. Guarantee it. So I prayed for her. God healed her. But she said, I'm scheduled for surgery. I'm going ahead and have my surgery. I said, you don't need that surgery. But I got to have it. So she, just like all the rest of us, yeah, she goes in there. She has a surgery. They cut under her right arm, take out a piece of breast and check it, and ain't nothing wrong with it. But now when they put her back together, she can't raise her arm up. So she comes repenting, Thurman, I'm so sorry. I've told Jesus how sorry I am that I didn't believe him. I mean, I know you told me that you'd pray for me after I repented. He would heal me, but I had trouble believing that. So I went ahead and had the surgery. Now they've done the surgery. Now I can't raise my arm. I said, so you've asked him to forgive you for your unbelief? Yes. I said, he'll do it. And I reached over and touched her. I said, Lord, be merciful to your daughter here and restore her arm. And immediately he restored that arm. And today she can throw that arm straight up. Ain't that good? Aren't we glad we serve an awesome God, Ida? He's awesome, isn't he? He's a wonderful God. I love serving the King and seeing him do those things, even when we don't believe. So that goes for some of y'all that don't have the kind of faith. Here's another little daughter. She didn't have that kind of faith either. But your faith is increasing now, isn't it, girl? I mean, you've seen him do some pretty wonderful things. So you're getting to where you can trust him now, right? Praise the Lord. But do we have unbelief in the church today? Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. It's wild. And why do we have so much unbelief? Because we don't spend enough time with the King and his word. We spend more time with the world than we do with God. That's just the way life is. So, okay, now then, let's go to a couple of places here. I want to show you a few things the Lord says that he will do for us. And I want us to start in Exodus 23:25. And I want you to see this wonderful statement the Lord has made here in Exodus. In fact, he made this under the law. But I want you to see it's still good today. He's never changed. We got that wisdom. I looked up there. They found that for me. I want you to see this scripture I quoted to you a while ago, Wisdom 11:16. Now, this is in the Catholic Bible. The Book of Wisdom is not in the King James, but this is in the Catholic Bible. And in Wisdom chapter 11, verse 16, it says, that they might know that wherewithal a man sinneth, by the same also shall he be punished. Pretty clear, isn't it? You sin with your mouth, what's going to be attacked? Your mouth. If you sin with your feet, what's going to be affected? Your feet. You sin with unforgiveness, probably what's going to be affected? Cancer. Almost every time. Anytime a woman has a grudge against another woman, guess where she's always hit? Her breast. Almost every time. Anytime you see a woman with breast cancer, she's got a grudge against another woman or against herself. How many times have I seen women have breast cancer, have no grudge against nobody until I find out they're the problem? They have a grudge against themselves, and that brings breast cancer. The most awesome demonstration of this I ever saw was a lady that hated herself, and she had big old red tumors, cancers all over her face. And she looked awful. And whenever she repented for not loving herself, that she hated herself, when she asked God to forgive her, the cancers fell off of her face on the floor. Awesome, isn't it? When God told you to love yourself, do you reckon he meant what he said? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength, and all yourself, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You think God means for you to love yourself, son?
Yes.
Yes, he does. And what if you don't? You're breaking his rules. And you're sinning. And it'll bring sickness and disease into your body. Kind of scary, isn't it? Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Dave, for that Wisdom 11:16. That's great. Now let's go to Exodus 23:25. And I want to show you a promise God made you if you obey. In Exodus 23, He says, verse 24 says, "You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of you." So if you obey him and love him, how much sickness are you supposed to have? If he takes it away, how much is left? None. Almost nobody believes that today. So see, if he promised that under the law, if you're in the church today and he's bore your sickness and removed your disease and you're coming down with some kind of sickness, guess what? There's something wrong. There's a sin in your life. There's a sin in your life. And you know what the sin could be? Maybe you ain't loving the Lord enough. Did he say put anything before him, brother? So what if you're putting your Sunday afternoon football game before him? That hits a lot of guys, doesn't it? Doesn't it, young lady? That hits a lot of them. Oh, she looked over to her husband. Oh, no, she's looking back at somebody else. Looking back at daddy or somebody, huh? Husband said, "Don't look at me." But that is, I mean, lots of men are hung up on Monday night football, Sunday afternoon football, and they'll stay home, watch three football games on Sunday afternoon and may watch from 1 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night and sit there and scream and holler all day at that tube, but won't have nothing to do with God, but yet they say they're Christians. Well, that ain't putting God first. And so then they wonder why they get sick or afflicted, or their children get sick and afflicted. They just wonder. But, I mean, the king did say right there, if you serve the Lord your God, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I, God, will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So, if he promised if we serve him and love him and worship him and do what he says, he's going to take sickness away from us. If we have sickness, then there's a problem. What is the problem? Well, we need to find out what it is. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7:15 and let's see this promise. And then we'll get over into some of these promises under the new covenant. Deuteronomy 7:15. "And the Lord will take away from thee," how much? "All sickness, and he will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." Now then, why do you think he's going to do that? Well, let's go to the next verse in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, and I want to show you what is promised to the under the old covenant, which we have that covenant. It's ours if we know it. Because this is a blessing that was given to Abraham, and you and I became members of this Abrahamic covenant whenever we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So, under Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, and it says, "And it shall come to pass if," now that's a big word, "if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do," how many of his statutes? "All his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God." Now, how many wants to live under these blessings? I want to live under these blessings. So what do we have to do to live under these blessings? Obey. It's right. Quite simple. It's really not difficult at all. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. You know, all you got to do is be able to read. You don't even have to be able to read at a very high level, you know, maybe fifth or sixth grade or something like that. And then you can read this and understand this. And then verse 3 and 4, Dave, let's read all 14 of these verses. It says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field." Now that, whether you live in town or out in the country, makes no difference. "Blessed shall you be the fruit of your body." So who is the fruit of your body?
Children.
Your children, of course. "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and blessed shall be the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of the sheep," the kinds of goats. "And then blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, do you hear anything in this you like so far?
Amen.
Everything. I mean, goodness gracious. I do too. Now, then, the next couple of verses. The Lord, I love this. The Lord shall cause your enemies that arise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. Now, don't you love that, brother? Amen. I love it. Now, who's going to cause that to do that? The Lord is. He's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. And then he said, the Lord shall, I love this one, don't you? The Lord shall command the blessings. I just can't imagine the Lord saying, I command the blessings to overtake you. Now then, wow. Is that a good thing? How would you like for God to walk up in front of you and say, oh, I'm God, son, and I command the blessings of life to overtake you because you're a good boy. Would you like to hear that? Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. Because I know if God commands the blessings to overcome and overtake you, guess what's going to overtake you? The blessings. Who is in control of the universe? God. He's running things. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in your storehouse and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. He's going to give you the land. He's going to bless it. He's going to do everything and command all these blessings upon you. Now, verse 9. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. In other words, you can't walk in your ways. You got to walk in his way. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Isn't that amazing? Every time I read that, I think about what this young man, when I was the manager down at SkyShift for about 7 years. One day, one of the boys came to me and told me, said, Richard had a dream about you. And I said, oh, what's that? He said, well, he's been asking us, how does Thurman know everything that goes on in this place? He knows what we're all doing. He's got 35 men all over the place, and he seems to know everything everybody does. We can't get by with nothing. He said, he'd been asking that question. So he said, Richard come in and told us today he had a dream last night, and it was about you. And said he was going for break from the truck shop up to the cafeteria, and he's going down the hall. When he comes around the corner, there's a bright light in the hallway. So, wow, where'd that bright light come from? He said he walked around the hall, looked, and said it was coming out of your office. And he walked up down there, and he looked in that big window in your office, and there stood Jesus telling you everything we were all doing. One of the men told him, he said, well, why don't you go talk to Thurman about that? He said, I ain't going to talk to that man. He was afraid to come in my office. Isn't that amazing? And they shall be afraid of you. I mean, all you got to do is walk with God. Isn't that wonderful? The enemy can't touch you. I don't care how big they are. If you know by faith, you can be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the king says, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace if you don't bow down and worship my God. Don't do that, please. No, that ain't what them boys said, is it?
Nope.
Those boys had great faith. O king, if it be so that you throw us in the fiery furnace, okay, no problem. But the God we serve, he is well able, and he will deliver us through that fire.
It's on a fourth one.
Yeah, but if not, you don't throw us in the fiery furnace. So many people, almost every commentary I ever read about that says, but if you don't deliver them. No, that's not what that says. That's not what that says at all. I read commentary after commentary after commentary, and almost every commentary says, but if you don't deliver them. Now, wait a minute. Dave, go to that scripture. In Daniel 3. And let's see what that says. I want you to see this. It took me a long time to read this, but finally one day I got that. Now I just want to read the part where, this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, in other words, what did the king just tell him he was going to do with them? He just told him, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. You all know that, right? Okay. Then he said, if it be so, what, that you throw us in the fiery furnace? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, do you see any faith in that statement? Hey, that's it. Total faith. I mean, these boys, they've been threatened, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Now, that would take some faith, wouldn't it, Frank? That'd take some real faith. No, please, oh God, please don't let them boys throw me in that furnace. Well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're going to die in the fire. Because God only honors, he honors need, doesn't he? Does he honor need?
No.
Oh, he don't honor need. If he did, there'd be a whole lot of people that'd be meeting their needs, wouldn't it? He honors his word and he honors faith in his word. So they said, the God we serve is well able, and he will deliver us out of this fiery furnace. He will. And then look what he said. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And in verse 18, But if not, you do not throw us in the furnace. That's what he's trying to say. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the God, the golden image, which thou hast set up. Now then, but if that means like most commentaries that I've read said, but if not, but if you don't deliver us, then you don't need to put the rest of that in there. What happens if he doesn't deliver you? What's going to happen to you, brother, if he don't deliver you from that furnace? You're going to be ashes. That's absolutely right. And so, does ashes bow down and worship anything? No. It couldn't mean that. But if not, you don't throw us in the furnace. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's pretty clear once you see it, isn't it? So, that's what I'm saying. That's why you have to pray over the Bible. You know, God didn't just put everything in there real simple so you could get it the first time. You know that? Young lady, I don't know if you know this yet or not. I hope you don't mind me picking on you today. See, I'm sorry that you settled the front row. See, that's what happens to women that settle the front row. He brought you up here and made you settle the front row. You just say, this guy's your husband, right?
Yes.
Anytime you need something, just because he loves you, you know he automatically knows what you need, and you never have to ask him for nothing, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's not the way it works?
Oh, no.
You mean you have to ask him?
Oh,
and he always hears the first time.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Sometimes you have to ask him twice. Sometimes three times. Oh, so he's pretty normal, isn't he? See, now, if women would all learn that, just like my wife the other night. Honey, the hot water, we've been having some terrible high winds around here. And she said, I don't have any hot water. I said, okay, no problem. I'll fix it in the morning. I did hear. I was looking right straight at her. You know, she did have my attention. The next morning, I got up, washed my hands and everything. I never use warm water in the morning. You know, when I get up and wash up, I just use cold water. I'm pretty thrifty. I don't want hot water heater running, see? So I'm real thrifty, and so I use cold water. And another thing, too, I've learned that cold water takes the wrinkles out better than hot water.
It's working.
And it's working, praise the King. So I don't have too many of them, do I? So praise the Lord. And so I used cold water. And so that afternoon she said, honey. I said, yes, dear. She said, what about the hot water heater? I said, I never even thought about it again. Now, she was looking me right in the eye when she told me the hot water heater don't work. And I told her, I'll fix it first thing in the morning. And I never thought it went right in this ear and right on out the other side because I still really had something else on my mind. So it didn't lock into my box in there. So I didn't get it. But whenever she told me the second time, I thought I better go light that hot water heater right now. If I don't, I'm liable to forget it. She'll have to tell me three times, see. So your husband just like me? Oh, okay, so me and you's okay. We're okay. We're normal. We're normal. But that's the way guys are. But we have to be told a lot of times, and that's why when God put this in the Word, He put it in there expecting you to read it and meditate over it and pray on it, because if you just read it the first time, you won't never get the true meaning of that statement. I missed it for years. Then one day I got to thinking, hey, that's not what that says. And so then the more I meditated on it, I said, hey, it can only say this. And so it's amazing how faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. Amen. And the more you read it, the more you understand it, the more revelation the King gives you. Right, Frank? Absolutely. Okay, praise the King. Now then, after we've read these great things, these promises here, let's go to Matthew 4, 23 and 24. I'm going to hit a couple of little things there. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. So far, did you like that blessing covenant? You like that? So what do you got to do to get that?
Obey.
That's all you got to do is obey. So if you're not reading the Word every day, are you obeying the Word? No, you got to read it every day. You need to read it, pray over it, talk to Him, worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. And verses 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went about throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with various diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those which had the palsy, and He healed them. Now see, that's what's supposed to be available to you and me.
Amen.
We're supposed to be able to do the same thing. Now, according to our faith, be it done unto us. And what a shame. Now then, we got those. Matthew 8, 14 through 17. I want to go to Matthew 8, 14 through 17, and I want to show you something. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, how did He get her healed? Touched her. Laid His hands on her. Now, see, there is a scripture. As Jesus is doing these very things, He's showing you and me what we're supposed to be able to do, because we can take a scripture at the end of Mark 16, 17 and 18, and let's say start with verse 15, Mark 16, 14, 15, or 15, 16. Let's go there, Dave, and to Mark, and let's look at what He told us to do when He was getting ready to go back to heaven. Mark 16, 15, and Jesus said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now then, I could ask you, how many of you have led anybody to Jesus in the last few weeks? Now, if you were like I was when I was a Southern Baptist deacon and had been a Christian for well over 25 years, I was a Sunday school teacher and a deacon in a church and worked on almost every committee in the church, did everything, loved God, maintained the buses, you named it, went visiting, but did I ever lead anybody to Jesus? No. I thought that's a pastor's job. I didn't even try. I mean, you know, I didn't try to lead nobody to Jesus. It wasn't my job. I didn't think. But when I read this, I find out it is my job. All I'm supposed to be is a Christian, a disciple, and I'm supposed to go and talk to people about Jesus. Now, if you go and talk to people about Jesus and you start winning souls into the kingdom of God, then this is what happens next, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents, which is the devil. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and sometimes they'll get well. That ain't what he said, is it? I get tickled when I'm watching y'all, when y'all read along with me. You see it when I read it along. You think, what's wrong with this guy? Why do you think I do that? I want to know if you're reading it. Are you paying attention to what God's saying there? It's just like a bunch of guys in a Sunday school class, men, a bunch of men. I walked down the aisle the other day in a Baptist church, and one of them said, Thurman Scrivener, come in here. I walked in there, I said, oh, what can I do for you guys? He said, I want to know why when you lay hands on people, they get healed. I said, well, I'm going to ask you, have you ever laid hands on somebody and expected them to get healed? He said, no. I said, well, you ain't never going to see nobody get healed. I said, you know, if you believe God's word, you see somebody sick, you don't even ask them if they're a Christian or not. You just see somebody in the store and they're sneezing, coughing, everything. Say, hey, you look sick. Said, I'm serving Jesus. Let me pray for you in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Don't even give them a chance to answer. You know. And I've had people, I've done that too. I have had people jump back and say, don't you touch me. I don't want nothing to do with that. Dave, the other day, stopped as a boy with a girl on a motorcycle. They turned the motorcycle over, and he's bleeding profusely and everything else. And Dave come up there, and he said, I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. He said, no, get away from me. He was a Muslim. They said, that's okay. I'm going to pray for you anyway. You can't stop me. I don't want to do it, Jesus. He said, you're going to get saved because I'm going to pray for you. You ain't going to have to do with it because I'm going to pray for you. You're going to get saved. Now, what kind of faith is that?
Unstoppable.
Hey. Unstoppable faith. You know, now that's the kind of men and women we need to be. We see a guy, I don't care if he's a Muslim, laying on the side of the highway. You stop and pray for that guy. And Jesus heals him. And then it's amazing how many times I've seen people miraculously healed when I just step out and do something wild and stupid before everybody's eyes. You know, down here at the airport, whenever I prayed for Edelina several years ago, that little Spanish woman, I didn't know if she knew Jesus, but she was a human being. And she had fell in a great big old stove and burned all the skin off the bottom of her right arm. How would you like to be a little lady or a little guy and your foot slip and lay it down on a 250-degree door? How would you like to do that? You as a lady, I don't know, do you cook? No, you don't cook. You don't cook. Okay, well, she's truthful anyway. Mine don't cook either, so don't, no big deal. She cooks a little, but not much. She'd a whole lot rather eat somebody else's food. But that she does a lot of other things, though, praise God. So everybody's not everything. But she can cook, but she'd rather not. And so this little lady was a cook in a big outfit. And she had fell in that big oven, burned all the skin off her arm. And all I could say is when I heard her, she was screaming. You can imagine, Kate, you young lady, you know, you probably have burned your finger on a kettle or a pot or whatever. And you know how it hurts. Well, this lady was screaming like crazy. Well, I went running down there. Of course, they're getting the first aid kit out and they're going to do everything. But, you know, she's got a burn there. And so I just run up to her and it's on her right arm. So I run up to her and I grab this left arm with my right hand, hold up the other one. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I quote Isaiah 53:4-5. After I quote Isaiah 53:4-5, then I quote this verse, Mark 16:18. We shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
Is that a promise from the King?
Amen.
And who did he say this would happen to? Those that
believe.
Are you a believing believer or an unbelieving believer?
Yes.
You're becoming a believing believer, right? Hey, praise the King. And that's what God likes, too, when you're becoming a believing believer. But I said, Lord, I don't know how long it's going to take for this to work. So I'm going to go to another scripture that he gave you and me as children of God if we're walking in obedience, and it's Mark 11:23. Now, I want you to see what Mark 11. Now, this is a promise that works for you as the body of Christ if you're walking in obedience to God's word. Mark 11:23. And he says, and Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. What do you got to have?
Faith in
God. Faith in God, the God kind of faith. For verily I, Jesus, say unto you, that whosoever shall say. Now, are you a whosoever?
Yes.
I'd like to think I'm a whosoever. You know, now if he'd have said, only Thurman gets to do these kind of things. Or only, what's your name?
Jeff.
Only Jeff gets to do those. Then there's probably a whole bunch of Jeffs in the country, but that sure would eliminate the rest of us, wouldn't it? But he didn't do that, did he, Jeff?
No.
He said, whosoever. So that includes you and me. And you, right? Okay. And whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, what can your mountain be? It can be anything. It can be anything. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, he didn't say not doubt in your man. Well, that devil will work on your man. Every time you start to stand for a miracle, your mind saying, you fool, you idiot, this ain't going to work. You probably, that day you prayed for that girl, you was telling me, there was probably something in your mind saying, you know, what if it don't work this time?
Not that day.
Not that day it didn't work. You know what I mean, right? Yeah, that devil, he'll come by and say, oh, if he don't do it for you this time, you're going to look like a fool.
That's right.
You know what I mean, right?
Absolutely.
Sure, he's good at it. He'll do it. But the Lord says, don't doubt in your heart. So how do you think you're going to get this heart not to doubt God's promises? Put them in there just like he's pounding on his Bible. Put them in there over and over and over. Stand on these mighty promises. I mean, just beat them into yourself over and over and over. And when you do, she'll not doubt his heart, but she'll believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. So what kind of limitation did our King give us as the body of Christ? That's it. Zero. We can have anything we can say in faith.
Amen.
So when I laid hands on this little woman and I quoted Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, that Jesus bore her pain, I said, he bore your pain, so you don't have to have it. I said, now then, I said, Mark 11, after he says, lay hands on the sick, but I said, I don't know how long it'll take to heal you. So I said, Mark 11, 23, he says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I said, in the name of Jesus, woman, I guarantee you'll get a supernatural healing from the King, and his name is Jesus. The pain stopped. She stopped screaming. She went ahead and served the evening meal in the cafeteria. Still had all them blisters. Everybody saw it. When they went up there, in fact, one of the men, I went up and had dinner with them that night. One of the men said, Adelina, what happened to your arm? Well, I burned it on the oven. He said, well, good grief, why don't you go to the doctor? She said, well, it don't hurt. So she wouldn't go. That night when she got home, her husband wanted to take her to emergency when he saw it. And she said, no, it doesn't hurt at all. I don't want to go. I said, if it's bothering me in the morning, we'll go. She wakes up the next morning. Her arm is beautiful. Not a mark, not a burn, not a blister.
Amen.
Who showed up that night, reckon?
Jesus.
That's exactly right. Jesus. I mean, that's what we can do if we believe. Did he say we can do these kind of things?
Yes. And greater.
But the thing about it is you got to get over that little beast. Oh, but what if he don't do it for you this time? You're going to look like a fool. You know that?
I already do, so that's all right.
Okay, so we don't care, do we?
Nope.
When you get to that point, for you don't care. Jesus, if you said it, I'm doing it. I don't care if the world thinks I'm a complete idiot. I don't care. You're going to see God show up for you and do some wonderful things. And you're going to love it. You already do. Now, is this a pretty awesome promise? Now, then, look at what he said here. Now, remember, this is for the body of Christ today. This is on this side of the cross. The first hour and a half, we talked about what God don't like and what brings sickness and disease upon us. So we need to take heed to those things and not do them, right? Because if he didn't like it then, he don't like it today, does he, young lady? That's right. And so we want to please the King because since he happens to be in control, if we please him, he says he'll make our enemy be at peace with us. And I love it when my enemy's at peace with me. Don't you? Absolutely. I mean, I love it. I do not want the enemy to be after me. I mean, if God says, okay, devil, you can take 45 of your best demons and send them after Jeff today. Ooh. I'm going to start repenting real quick, right, Jeff? Oh, yeah. Because we don't want them beasts coming after us. Because they're going to hurt us, whip us, make us sick, and cause our car to break and everything else to go wrong. Break us. They're going to really mess us up. And they're going to be doing it because God sent them to do it because of our disobedience. But now if we're walking in obedience and pleasing the King, no. Devils, you can't touch him. He's my son. He's obedient. In fact, I think I'll just command a few blessings on Jeff today. Everything he's going to touch is going to be blessed today. I'd like to live there, wouldn't you, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, yeah. All you got to do is obey and claim those promises and he'll do it, right? I mean, when you take that promise right there and you get to pray for that little Spanish woman and see God completely take away her pain in a heartbeat and then completely take away all those burns and everything and make that arm perfectly well by the next morning, from 5 o'clock that afternoon until 7 o'clock the next morning when she woke up a completely healed arm, you know Jesus showed up, don't you? There ain't no doubt in nobody's mind. But she didn't understand it herself. When they asked her the next day at work, why do you think your arm healed so fast? She said, I don't know. Maybe it was because it was so cool last night. That's what she said. She didn't know Jesus, did she? Who was it that got her healed? My faith and the Word of God. Now then, if that woman had no faith and yet maybe didn't even know Jesus, but with my faith and I spoke His Word, He honored it. And He showed up. So now then, when we start doing those kind of things on a regular basis, how many of us are going to walk in divine health? All of us. We ain't going to be sick and afflicted. When we're obeying the King, He promised. How much sickness did the King promise to take away from you if you obeyed Him?
All.
Don't you love that? All. So anytime sickness and disease start to come by your house, you need to find out what you're not pleasing Him. You know? Just like when girls try to get their husband to do something, my husband won't never do nothing for me. That's real simple. I say, honey, you need to find out what you're doing that's not pleasing your husband. Because if you're pleasing him, he won't be like that. He'll be a loving, kind guy. But watch what you say. Be careful. Say good things to him. You know, don't make any cutting remarks because you might make him mad. You know, guys can get like that. They can. But if you please him, he'll do anything for you. Anything. And, of course, God's no different. God is a man. So you girls need to learn how men work. Because he's a man. And he thinks like a man. He is a man. And when you please him, he'll do anything for you. He made us this awesome promise. That those things which you shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what if you're saying, I'm sick? What if you're saying, I have cancer? That's what you're going to have. Under the new covenant, now I want to take you back to Matthew 8:13, and I want to show you something that happened here in Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, now the scripture's right in front of this, the centurion came to Jesus and said, I have a servant at home lying sick with a palsy. Will you come and heal him? Jesus said, I'll go. And then the centurion said, well, really, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm a man under authority. I tell these men to do this and those men to do that, and they do it. I know you're a man of spiritual authority. You just speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, wow, in all Israel have I not seen such great faith. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And what? As you have believed, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. So if you believe that Jesus will heal you, he will. If you believe he will not, he will not. And when you ask, you've got to ask in faith, right? You've learned that scripture well too, haven't you? Nothing. Well, let's go back to that scripture in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and let's see what happens when we ask. Let's go to James 1, 6 and 7, and let's see here. But let him ask in faith. In other words, when you're asking for something, you must ask in faith. How much wavering? How are you going to get to the point where you can ask God for something with nothing wavering? What does it take to get to that point? Hey, get in the Word, son. That's exactly right. I mean, everybody would like to get it the easy way, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Let Thurman do all the work. Let him do all the reading and studying. And let's just go down there to a healing school, let him pray over us, and we get healed. And then we go back and do what we want to do, and we keep on with our life. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. I mean, when I've had people come here and say, I'm sick, I'm afflicted, I need help. I say, okay, get your sins repented of and get in the Word, spend some time with God. He's a healer. I'll pray for you and he'll heal you. But Thurman, I don't have time. I got to work. Won't you just pray over me? I said, it ain't going to do no good. You know, I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. And he wants an intimate walk with you. Isn't that what he wants? Sure. That's what he wants. So some of them will get in a little bit and they'll come. And we've had people that come and I pray over them, pray over them, pray over them. I had some people come and I prayed over them. I said, did you get your sins repented up? I'm tired of hearing you say, did I get my sins repented up? Well, okay, go over there and let Eldon or Cheryl or Ty or somebody else pray for you. And they go over there and say, will you pray for me? I say, you got your sins repented up? Is that all you guys think about here is get your sins repented of? Well, if you don't repent of your sins, Jesus says, repent and be healed. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Repent and be healed. But people just don't understand that that's God's way. Repent and be healed. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you get your sins repented of, let him ask in total faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Somebody says, you can't guarantee God's word. If I can't guarantee it, I might as well not pray, right? Because if I pray and don't guarantee it, that means I doubt it, doesn't it? But, you know, when I fact of the first time I remember using that word, I guarantee, was about 13 or 14 years ago, whenever I prayed for Philip back there when he was a little 11-year-old boy. That's the first time it really stuck. But when I went over to their house and taught them the word all afternoon, and then I prayed the prayer for Philip, was a little 11-year-old boy, had warts and scars all over his body, and I prayed for him. And when I got through, I got up and I praised the Lord and thanked him for healing him. And we got up and Philip's mother said, when are these things going to come off? I said, that's the only thing God don't tell me is when. I don't have any idea. But I said, I'm going to guarantee you on the word of the living God that if you stay in faith with me with no doubt that in a few days Philip will not have a wart or a scar on his body. That's the first time I ever remember using the word, I guarantee God's word will work. Well, the next morning, when Mama goes in to check Philip, the warts on the ends of his fingers are gone overnight. I mean, when you see a Baptist mother see God's word working, she's on fire. And 3 weeks later, Philip didn't have a wart. And 4 weeks later, he didn't have a scar.
Amen.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
He took off the warts and the scars.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And, of course, now Philip's this big, tall, handsome 24-year-old man back there, you know, running the camera. Wave at him, Philip. Isn't God good? You know what? I can tell these stories. Somebody say, I don't believe that story. Go back and talk to him. He's right back there. All right, I can say, you know, I had all these incurable. All right, you know, talk about this woman that got healed of breast cancer and then couldn't raise her arm. I don't believe that. I said, well, come over here and talk to Miss Ida. Here she is right here. Oh, good. It's nice to have all these people here, right? And so many people that are here that you can talk to you and say, what? Did this really happen? Did he pray for you and it really happened? Yeah, it really did. You know, because you can't go to a whole lot of churches and see this. You know it? You really can't. But we got them here. Praise the King. Almost everybody in this ministry has been healed from something, including me. You know, I've had a lot of experiences with God on my legs, my arm, my spider bite, and all that good stuff. But God healed all of it. But this one says right here, if you waver, you will not receive anything from God. Now, I'm going to pray over you. Oh, God, please, if it be your will you please heal Frank?
Thank you. Wasting your time.
Hey! You know, Frank is saying, that preacher, go away, I need another one. Next, give me another one, give me one of faith. Now, the prayer of faith. Now, let's go to this magnificent promise in James chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. And let me show you, as we're in the book of James here, let me show you what the Lord told us in James 5, 14, 15, and 16. He says, is any sick among you? Of course, now, he didn't put mine and your name in there either, did he?
No.
If Jeff's sick or if Thurman's sick, have him call the elders. He didn't say that, did he?
No.
He said, is anyone sick? So that covers the whole spectrum, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't we grateful?
Yes.
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That doesn't sound very hard so far, does it? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven.
Amen.
That pretty well covers it all, doesn't it? So why in the world will we use a scripture like that and pray over somebody and say, "Oh God, if it be your will, when we anoint him with oil, will you please heal him?" That's right. That's exactly right, young lady. A double-minded man. And you know why that scripture never works for the guys that do that? Because they didn't ask in faith. I saw a lot of people anointed with oil that it never worked. In fact, after I got this lady, Judy, healed in Corpus, her good friend was a Catholic, and he had a big church down in the Bryan College Station, and he asked me to come speak in his church. I went down there, and I spent all afternoon teaching them these principles. 4 or 5 hours I talked in that church, and when it was over, he came up and said, "I want to make a statement to start off before you pray for anybody." He said, "We believe in anointing with oil and praying for the sick in this church. And we have anointed with oil and prayed for many one, but we ain't never seen nobody healed to this day." But he said, "Today I learned why." He said, "I always use James 5:14, and then I say, 'Lord, if it be your will you heal this person?'" And he said, "He never does." But he said, "I won't never say that again. Never." Obviously, it's his will. Is that what he said? Did you see anywhere in those two verses he said that if it be my will for you, I'll heal you? He said, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith," not the prayer of unbelief, but the prayer of faith, "shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, the Lord shall forgive him." You just can't get no clearer than that. So if there anybody does get sick in the church, they got this awesome promise to stand on, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, so nobody in the church should be sick. Nobody should have to go to a doctor in the church. I mean, even if you've got a sin, and the sin's what made you sick. Well, I mean, if you come in and you're sick, all you got to do is come down to your pastor, if he's a believing pastor, and say, "Pastor, I need to be anointed with oil, and I need to be prayed over. I seem to have this runny nose or this flu, and I just can't get rid of it. Or I got this pain in my back. I don't know what I might have done. But will you have some of the men come up and anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith over me?" I mean, could we get them healed? Sure. The Word says it. But when we do it, what do we have to do it in? Faith. When we do it in faith, God always shows up. So when you pray over people, you don't never do nothing except in faith. You know, when you get to where you can just walk in somewhere, Jeff, and somebody's sick, you get great faith. You walk over and say, "Hey, what's wrong with you? You got that runny nose and flu?" Yeah. "Don't get too close to me." "Oh, I'm immune to that stuff. I'm walking obedience to the Word. That devil can't touch me." In fact, you feel that hand on your shoulder? The anointing power of God's in that hand. He told me to lay that hand on you. He told me to lay hands on you. "I'm going to put both of them on you." Ooh, he said, "You're healed. You can't help it. It's done. God told me to do it. You're healed. Praise God." The guy said, "That's the nuttiest man I've ever seen in my life." Be just like that great big old electrician one day. I was down there. We had a great big walk-in cooler was building. I walked out on the job site and all these guys was cussing. I walked out there and I said, "Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?" "Oh, well, we're doing okay." One of them said, I said, "Look, this great big tall electrician there looked like he weighed 250, had his hard hat on." I said, "How about you, son? How you doing?" "Oh," he said, "Mr. Scrivener, I just get better to die." I said, "Oh, you're sick this morning, huh?" "Yeah." I said, "Get over here." "What?" I said, "You big lug, get over here and take your hat off." "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to pray for you." I said, "You a Christian?" No. I said, "Get over here. Jesus loves you anyway, you big lug." I reached up and told him, I said, "In the name of Jesus, Lord, heal him." I said, "Thank you, Lord, it's done." Everybody's watching. Everybody. I said, "You heal, guarantee it." I just walked on off, left him. Went to my office. About an hour, there's a man come, knocked on my door, looked in the glass. It was that electrician. I said, "Come on in." Opened the door and he said, "Mr. Scrivener, where do you go to church?" I said, "I go to First Baptist Church in Justin." "Why?" He said, "I ain't never seen nothing like this." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I felt so awful when I come to work. I thought I'd die before the day is over." He said, "You did what you did and walked off, and all of a sudden, I don't have a pain or a symptom or nothing." He said, "I feel like a brand new man." What did God tell you to do? Lay hands on the sick, and what will he do? He'll heal them. Unbelievers are the easiest one to get healed. They don't have to have faith. God uses your faith. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to train them. Just pray for them. You don't even have to pray for them. He didn't even tell you you had to pray for them, did he? What did he tell you to do? Lay hands on them. Is that difficult? No, that ain't hard at all. You just walk by and somebody's sick, say, touch them as you go by. Be healed in the name of Jesus. The guy said, what are you doing to me? Oh, you'll see. I mean, just life's fun when you start living in the kingdom. It really is. Life is fun. You start praying for people. I mean, I know that Pat, her and Wally don't come here anymore, but Pat, when she got a hold of this, she's walking down the steps over there where she walks from Dallas, works one day. And there's a little Spanish woman coming down the steps, and she is having trouble. And Pat said, what's wrong? Oh, she said, I'm so sick and I hurt. Pat said, well, you know Jesus? No. He said, well, Jesus knows you. He loves you. In fact, he told me to lay my hands on you and pray for you, and he'll heal you. She said, what? Pat just reached up and touched her. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And God instantly healed that woman right there. And Pat gave us that testimony. She said, that little woman was on fire. And don't you think it's time we start doing what the King told us to do? I love seeing the King do these wonderful things for His people. I mean, it's wonderful to see God show up for you. But this is what the kingdom is supposed to be all about. He said, pray that the kingdom would come to the earth. Is that what He said? Amen. Let your kingdom come, Lord, to the earth. That's what He wants. He wants us to walk in these great and awesome promises that He put in here. Now then, is any sick among you? Now, if you're a Christian, He's talking here to a Christian. If you're sick and you're among the believers, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over you and anoint you with oil. And when they pray for you, that's like this preacher up in this little Baptist church in Oklahoma. I mean, he's a Baptist, Southern Baptist, and he didn't really believe these things, but there was a woman in his church that had breast cancer, and she came to him and said, I don't want to be cut on. God made me a promise right there in James 5:14 and 15. She said, I want the elders to come up and pray over me, and I'm going to be healed when they pray over me. Now, do you hear any faith in that woman? They said they had to go out and buy a bottle of oil because they didn't have none. And next Sunday, they prayed for her. And she said, I guarantee God made me that promise. I'm going to be healed when you guys pray for me. There might not have been a single man in that place in that Baptist church prayed in faith, but that woman believed the word. And guess who got healed? She did. That's exactly right. She got healed. God healed that woman. Now then, I mean, does He honor faith? The prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, it can be your faith or their faith or both of your faith. And if all of you are in faith, well, if all of you are in faith and all of you are walking in obedience to the word, you ain't sick in the first place. You're not going to be sick. And that's the beautiful part about it, because God has promised under the old covenant over and over and over that if we obey Him, how much sickness will He take away?
All.
Well, if He takes away all, that means you don't have any, right? That means no cold, no runny nose, no nothing. Is that what He said? How would you like to walk the next rest of your life without a single cold, flu, or runny nose, or nothing? It's fun. It's fun. And if God's no respecter of persons, all you got to do is obey. Is that what He said? And He do what He said. He's pretty awesome. Now then, let's go to this scripture in Matthew 16 and 17. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Now I want you to see what the Lord says here. In Matthew 8, 16 and 17, when the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that was sick. So how many does Jesus want to heal?
All.
You know, He don't want, I mean, so many people today say, you know, Jesus don't heal all. He just heals who He wants to. Now, the reason we just see this kind of sparsely is because we don't have any faith. Now, if we get a bunch of people over here to pray for somebody and there's not any faith there, what's going to happen? Nothing. That's right, nothing. But you get one little guy or one little girl that's got great faith, what can you see God do, young lady? Amen. In fact, do you know the King said, if two of you on earth Matthew 18, 19. If just two of you, and the two of you married always together, there's no limitation what you two can get from God if you walk in obedience to His Word. Now, that's a secret. Yeah, you got to walk in obedience to His Word. Let's go to Matthew 8, 14. Let's read this right here. And that it might be fulfilled, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Amen. You know, if Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sickness, I've decided just to let Him have it. Is that right? Ain't no use me and Him both. If He, as big as He is, took my sickness, ain't no use me and Him both being sick. So when I got a hold of that, I said, oh, Lord, You took my sickness. You took my infirmities and bore my sickness. I am not going to be sick no more. But you got to believe that by faith. You got to believe that. Now, then, that great promise that He made us in Matthew 18, 19. Let's go to that great promise under the new covenant. Now, this is the one I used to get the warts off of and the scars off of Philip. This one right here. Whenever he is so covered with warts and scars. And that little boy, when he was 11, he had hundreds of warts and scars. I mean, hundreds of them. And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This book is so full of these wonderful promises. Why is it we don't believe Him? I mean, whenever you hear me teaching God's Word, like they say, you will either love me or you will hate me. There's no in between. Because number one, I'm going to confront your sin. And if you like your sin, you're going to hate me. You don't want nothing to do with me. But if you're willing to repent of your sin and do what God says, and then you start seeing the King answer your prayer, you're going to love what you learn from me, right?
That's right.
Hey! It's fun walking in the kingdom. I love it. And what little you've walked in it already, you're beginning to love it too, ain't you, son? You're going to see God do a whole lot more in your life before you're through, ain't you? How old are you, son?
38.
38. A young, I mean, just a whippersnapper. Is that right?
Sure.
On fire. A young whippersnapper, man. Get 38 years old, man. He's a ball of fire looking for some place to happen. You know, some place for God to use him. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. And that's what God likes too. He wants these young men to get a hold of His Word. Wow. Just think. What if you and me had known all these things when we was 10 or 12? Oh, yeah. You're going to teach them to your children, right? I think about Dave's little children. Little John. He's just this big, little bitty thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how old he is. 2.5, 3 years old or whatever he is. Just a little bitty guy. But if he hurts himself, he calls it an owie. You know, he come running up, Papa T, I hurt my hand. I have an owie. Will you pray? Reach down and touch him in the name of Jesus. You're healed. Okay, ma'am, he's gone. It's done. It's done. And then you start him at that age. What have you got? Man, you got little warriors that are going to do great things when they go to school and they hear all the stuff. That's just like Russell's daughter. Whenever I prayed for Russell, Greg's daughter, that little girl was 6 years old, and she had so many demons in her feet, eating her feet up. I prayed for her. I cast those devils out of her, and she got healed a long distance. I did it right over my bedroom, and they live way across 2 or 3 miles over there. I cast them demons out long distance because Jesus said, if I could believe, nothing should be impossible with me. Nothing. He gave me no limitations. I cast those devils out, that little girl, and then I saw him at church, and my mother asked me, did you pray for my daughter? I said, well, kind of. I didn't want to tell the Baptist mother I cast a demon out of her daughter, long range. But anyway, I did tell her I needed to talk to him about it and teach him how to keep the devil out. Because see, in Matthew 12, I think it's verse 37, it says, when a demon is cast out, he walks through dry places looking for a new house. Ooh, I got kicked out of that house over yonder. Let's see, can I find one over here? No, he ain't got no openings there either. No, he ain't got no openings either. Oh, there's Frank. He's got an opening. No. You ain't going there either, right? But see, what is that?
12:43.
Matthew 12:43. Maybe we go there and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then the next verse, let's see what it says. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came. You notice he called your body his house. I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. It's clean. So when he gets kicked out and he comes back and you have not filled that house with the Word of God, what's the devil going to do when he comes back? Oh, he's going to reenter, but he's not only going to reenter. Let's see what the next verse says, verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwelled there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So if you kick a demon out, you better tell somebody, they better get in the Word, right? Because if you don't, you're going to do them a great injustice. Now see, I knew this, and I tried to tell this family that they needed to get in the Word, but they never would take the time. They were always too busy. So 6 or 8 months goes by, the little girl's healed, and then all of a sudden, the mother comes to me and says, Thurman, Michelle's feet is worse now than they ever were. I mean, really worse. The toenails are coming off. You know, I mean, the little toenails were just hanging on by a thread. And the big toenails all around the cuticles, they were just bleeding and loose, and her little feet was just bloody. In fact, her feet would bleed so bad, and the pus and everything would run out of her little feet and under her skin so bad that when she got home from school in the afternoon, they couldn't pull her socks off till they put both feet in a pan of warm water and let it soak a little while. Otherwise, they just pull skin off. That even hurts thinking about it, don't it? This is a little 6-year-old girl. Does a demon have any respect to persons how old you are? He don't care, does he? If he gets legal right to get in there, he's going to mess you up. He got in this little 6-year-old girl somehow, probably because of unbelief, and he beat up on her. And I told her mother that night what I did. I said, you know, I'm just going to be point blank with you. It's a demon. And you got to be able to kick this demon out. And I said, you got to do it out in faith. And so I told her husband, and I told her, and she went home and told her husband. And her husband said, I'm going to believe, Thurman. You know why he believed? Because that little boy back yonder, big boy back yonder, was a little boy in his RA class at the time. And he saw him with all those warts and scars. And then after I prayed, he saw him with no warts and scars. That has a tendency to make you think that maybe this guy knows something you don't know. Maybe. Just maybe. You know, because we don't see those in the Baptist church too often. You know, very rare. So, anyway, he said, okay, I told him, I said, now, you take this magnificent promise, and I want you to take Luke 10:19-20. And I want you to see Luke 10:19-20. I want you to see how much power the Lord has given you if you walk in obedience to His Word. I want you to see the power Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20 gives you. Look at this scripture. Behold, this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I, Jesus, give unto you power. Now that's you. You can put your name there. I give unto you power to tread on serpents, the devil, and scorpions, the demons, and over how much of power of the enemy? Hey, that pretty well means he don't have none, doesn't it? Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. As a child of God, that's good news to me. I like that. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding or nevertheless, you don't have to rejoice in this, that the spirits or the evil spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. When's the last time you went down? Praise God, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to heaven. When's the last time you walked into a place of business that anybody in here saved? Anybody know Jesus? Hey, you know, we need to be bold with the words. You know that? We need to be bold. It's just like, you know, the way the guy introduced me over into Home Depot the other night to a man? He said, this guy is praising God everywhere he goes in this place. He said, he comes in here, buys stuff, he's praising God all over the place. Hey, I started to leave the other day. Check out. Eldon and I was over. We've been over on the shopping spree buying stuff for this building. When we got ready to check out, the guy in front of me said, I thought I was bold as a Christian until today. He said, one day I'm going to be as bold as you are. He said, I ain't never seen a man that ever aisled. He goes down. He asks somebody something. He says, praise the King. Glory to God. I said, loud enough for everybody here, two aisles over. He said, I ain't never seen nobody like this. But he said, you're like that. And he said, I love it. And he said, I'm going to get like you someday. Why do you think God answers my prayer? Because I give him all the glory and praise for everything, right?
Amen.
It's him. It's all about him. I want everybody to know Jesus. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell because I didn't tell them about Jesus. Who knows what God's going to do with the words I speak? Who knows two aisles over some guy heard me talking about Jesus and got saved? I don't know. But all I know is I have all power over the enemy. And he shall in no wise hurt me. Is that good news? So if I got all power over the enemy and he shall in no wise hurt me, how much power does he have over me?
None.
All I got to do is walk in obedient to the word, right? So then I got all power. And so then I can kick him out. And then I said, with that scripture right there, tell your husband he can kick the devil out with that set of verses. You know, but you got to believe that, right? And then, of course, I told him, I said, after your husband kicks that devil out of little Michelle, then when you kick him out, you command him that he will never be allowed back in the name of Jesus. Never. Now, as a daddy, he's got that spiritual authority. He's the spiritual head of the home. And he was walking in obedience to God's word. He's a fine Christian young man. So he, that night at 11 o'clock, they got their little six-year-old girl up, and they, daddy, kicked the devil out of her. Now, you know, when you're a daddy and you've been in a Baptist church all your life, and you take that word and you speak over your little daughter, her feet is eat up, and you command demons to come out of her, it makes you feel a little funny, you know it? You ain't never seen this done. Never heard about it being done. You're a Baptist. We don't do that. I'm serious. You laugh. Maybe you're a Baptist, huh? No, I hope not. No, I don't know. God loves a Baptist, too. I was a Baptist, though, see. And I know you can get it done as a Baptist, so that's why I can say these things, because I was a Baptist. 65 years I was a Baptist. And God done all these things through me as a Baptist. So he loves a Baptist, you know. He can do it. He loves everybody. That's right. Yeah. He's looking for faith. And so I said, you kick that devil out of your little girl according to those scriptures, and then you command him to never come back. And then I said, you take that magnificent promise of Matthew 18:19, where it says, if two of us on earth agree about anything, it will be done. I said, after you kick the devil out, you ask the Father in the name of Jesus to do a supernatural healing on your little girl, and then you praise him and thank him, and you and your wife both agree. And I said, I guarantee the King will do a great work on your little daughter. Well, Russell did that about 11 o'clock that night at his home. And the next morning, 7, he's getting ready to go to work. And he runs in there and jerks the cover off of his little girl. Said, honey, I want to look at your feet. And she pulls her little feet around, and they look at them, and her little feet look just like my hand. Beautiful, perfect, no loose toenails, no blood. Who showed up?
Jesus.
I mean, see, God don't have to have me to get things done. He can use you, can't he, son? And you've already seen it work. You have. So ain't no telling time you get my age what you're going to be doing. You may be way ahead of me. Praise the King. You got a goal to shoot for.
Yes, sir.
But see, we both want to be like the King, right?
Yes.
That's the whole thing. We want to be like Jesus. Because Jesus told us that's what he sent me and you to do. To be like him.
Amen.
No sin in our life. To be holy and do the things that he did. And to walk in divine health. Now then, Russell did that for little Michelle. And little Michelle was healed and she'd never come back. And of course, all through high school, now she's graduating, going to college and everything else, beautiful little lady. She had no friends in high school. You know why? She wouldn't go with her sin. She was holy. She had saw the results of sin and she didn't like it. They could be playing basketball. She was one of the best basketball players they had in high school as a girl. And they could, one of the girls in another town could burst out and say a word of profanity. She'd stop the game right in the middle of the court and tell them, I'm a Christian. We don't talk like that. Boy, what a little girl. That's a little girl after my own heart. That's yours, Frank?
Amen.
Amen. You want to have children like that. Children that does not blend into the world, but they stand out like a light. That's the way we should be, men and women. We should be Christians that stand out like a light. We should glow everywhere we go because the King is in us and His healing power is in us. And we need to be praying for people, teaching them how to walk sinless so they don't have to be sick, so they can have power over the devil. Is that an awesome promise or is that an awesome promise?
Amen.
Behold, I give unto you power, authority to tread on the devil and his demons, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Next time, son, the devil comes to your house and tries to put some hurt on you, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Start speaking the word.
Amen. Lord, if there's any place I've missed it, I repent.
That's right.
If there's any place, I repent.
That's right.
If I said something wrong to somebody, I repent. Is this girl sitting here your sister or something?
She's a friend of mine.
Oh, just a friend of yours. Okay. Just a friend. So I started to say, if yours your sister, you might say, Lord, maybe I said something to my sister that didn't set just right.
She's a sister.
She's a sister. Okay. She's a sister in Christ,
right?
But sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're walking holy and obedient. We make a little statement to somebody, and you didn't have a clue what you said. Especially as a man. But like my wife told me, she's a delicate flower. And sometimes, I mean, I'll tell you one time, we were just fixing to get married. God already told us to get married. And she was going to come out and go to church out here with me on Sunday morning. And she was driving a little fast coming from there to here. She lived over there in Colleyville. And I'm looking at my watch. What is wrong with this woman? I'm going to be late. I ain't been late in my whole life, and she's going to make me late. Where is this girl? And the phone rang. She said, honey, I'm having a little trouble. I got stopped by a police. A woman police. I said, what were you doing? She said, I was speeding. I said, let me tell you how not to get a ticket. Don't speed. And she went to crying, fell all to pieces. That was the wrong thing. See, you girls know what I mean, right? She says, I'm your delicate flower. You can't talk to me like that. I thought, my goodness, that'd been some old guy. I said, don't speed no more, you dummy. You know, drive the speed limit. Can't talk to her like that. You guys don't fall apart when I talk to y'all like that. Women do. They just, oh, they go to cry and everything. So when you do that, guess what you do? You're guilty of sin. You know that? Did you know that when you show respect to persons, do you know we got white and black and brown people in here today? Do you know that from all the different colors we've got, if anybody that's a Christian has any kind of difference between a person because of color, do you know you're guilty of sin? You're guilty of sin. I mean, you can't be a preacher and say, well, let me tell you a joke about this black guy. Or let me tell you a joke about this Mexican. You know, or about this Jap. Hey, you're guilty of sin. And you ain't going to get God to do nothing for you. You got to treat everybody the same. You got to love everybody the same. Did you know this is what's scary? If you show favoritism between one person and another, even it may not be color, it may be a poor man versus a rich man. The word's clear in James chapter 3. If you show favoritism, you're guilty of adultery and murder. That's a good one, isn't it? But Lord, I didn't commit adultery. I didn't commit murder. He said, if you broke the law in one place, you're guilty of all of it. He fell from grace, and now the demons of hell have legal right to torment you. That's kind of scary, isn't it? It makes you watch what you say. Watch what you do. How many people would ever dream because you showed favoritism towards somebody? I mean, I think about Casey here. Fine young man, but he walks with a limp. He's got a little problem. Some kids in school would make fun of him for walking with a limp. He can't help it because he walks with a limp. Y'all know what I mean? But do you know, have you seen people, especially kids, that'll make fun of another one? Because they don't walk exactly right. Or you might see one, a girl's got a mole on her face, and they make fun of her. Hey. Yeah, they make fun of you. And when they do that, they're guilty of sin. And guess what that'll do? If you're guilty of murder and adultery, If you're guilty of showing favoritism, and that makes you guilty of murder and adultery, then if you're guilty of murder and adultery, then that opens the doors to the demonic world, and the devil has legal right to torment you. And you wonder why you're sick. You wonder why your family's sick. You wonder why you're dying and have all these problems. And all you can do is tell jokes about somebody else. But see, people don't understand. They don't read the Word. Well, we walk in love. We've got to love everybody the same. Is that right? You want God to answer your prayer? You can't show no favoritism. You got to treat everybody exactly the same. Okay? Well, it's only 5 o'clock. Praise the King. I have so much fun with the Word of God. Time don't mean nothing to me. I just go on and on and on and on. I love to see God heal His people. And I love to see you get something from God's Word. And I love to see you. When I have a young man like this, I'd have never met this young man until today, but either one of these young men that I remember anyway. I guess this is the first time I've ever run into y'all, isn't it? Or have
it's true.
True. But when I have them coming in on fire, telling me about things that God's doing since they've been listening to my teaching, I love to see young men on fire for Jesus. Wow. And you love it too. Hey, I love it. I love to think that the Word of God that I was able to teach has something to do with changing your life. But that's what God called all of us to do. To go out and win souls, cast out devils, and to heal the sick. And the only difference between me and the rest of you, y'all just didn't believe what He said. It took me a long time, but I finally got where I believe it. And we're getting there, aren't we, Frank?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We are. We absolutely are getting there. If we're sons of God, if we repent of our sins and we pray the prayer of faith over us, how many of us are going to have to get well? All. Well, Jesus said it. He promised it to you. Can God lie?
No,
He cannot. Now then, if you don't repent of a sin or you go back into a sin, guess what's going to happen to you? Okay, I'm going to go one more verse then. Cheryl said it's 5 o'clock, but I'm going to go one more place, one more verse before we quit today. And this is a scary one. You don't ever hear this taught in church, hardly ever. But I want to go to Hebrews 10:25 and on. Hebrews 10:25. And then we'll go on to verse 26 and right on down the page. But most people, this is why people in the church are sick. First of all, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more the more as you see the day approaching. So we are supposed to assemble together as the church, right?
Yes.
How many of us as Christians, when I ask you, well, are you a Christian? Yeah. Do you go to church? Well, no. Or I go to church Christmas and Easter. Now hear that, folks. And some of you may know what I'm talking about. You may have relatives that, well, we went to Christmas and Easter. What else does God want? Well, let me tell you, He wants you there every week. That's what He wants. He wants you to have an intimate walk with Him. You might ask Him if that's all He wants. If they're married, say, okay, your husband goes out. He only comes home on Christmas and Easter. What else do you want? I don't think that would fly. Do you? No. But He says here, if you tell them that they're supposed to go to church and then they don't go to church, then look what He says in verse 26. Now, if you don't go to church after He tells you to go to church, what is that? Sin. If we sin willfully after we have the knowledge, have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. I mean, the blood of Jesus don't cover that no more, does it? Isn't that scary?
Yep.
Whew. That's scary stuff. Okay, let's read on. Let's don't stop right there. Let's read verse 27 and 28. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Now, in other words, do you think you could be called God's adversary because you're disobeying Him? Sure. You're His adversary because you're not obeying. He that despises the law, Moses' law, died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. Ooh, is that scary? Under Moses' law, if you disobeyed, you had 2 or 3 witnesses. They killed you. Ooh, let's go on. It doesn't stop there. of how much more sore punishment. Now, they killed the other guy. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him has said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. Now, do you want God to judge you? I don't want him to judge me. I don't want no judgment from God. Because I read all through the book when he judged people, what happened to them? They got sick and afflicted and tormented and their children died and their wife went off with somebody else and you name it, it happened. Didn't it? So, do you want to sin willfully after you have the knowledge of the truth? No, when you read the word and he says go to church, what do you need to do? Find you a good church and be in it. I mean, be in it. We said, but that preacher, he ain't a very good preacher. It's okay, find you another one, but go there till you can find another one. You know, stay in some. Do something. If he tells you to walk holy and walk in obedience to his word and don't sin, what should you do? I said I was going to quit, but I'm not. I'm going to go one more place. One more place, one more scripture, 1 Peter 2:21 and on. 1 Peter 2:21, we've got to see this. This is an example that he's given us to follow, and almost nobody walks there today. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin. So if Christ left us an example to follow and he did no sin, how much sin should you and me have? I mean, the average church don't believe that today, do they, son? They do not. I guarantee you they don't. I've caught the flack many a time when I preach this right here. People say, good grief, you don't expect, God don't expect us to be sinless. He knows we're just people and we sin all day, every day. Nope, that's not what the Word says. That's why you're sick, too. That's why you're sick. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, you may have to put a couple of layers of tape on it, but you can have no guile in your mouth. The next two verses. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Now, if all this is true, then look what that last statement says. Then by whose stripes you were healed. So if you do all above, guess what? You're going to get to walk in divine health, right? That's what it says. So with no sin, we read in the Psalms earlier that with no sin, we will not be visited with evil. Don't you like that? I love those promises. But it means if you do sin, you will be visited with evil. It's quite simple. It's got the both sides. You can't have it just one way. You know, and we obviously don't believe that. But there's many, many promises in here to heal you. All you got to do under the new covenant is repent of your sin and make God a promise. Lord, I'll get in your word. I'll do more studying. I'll have a more intimate time with you. I'll read your word. I'll put you first, and he will heal you. It's a guarantee. The Lord, in fact, to confirm that to you, Psalms 101, I want to show you the guarantee that God will heal you. Psalm 101, verses 1 through 5. I want to show you this. I want you to see. What I'm trying to do is build your faith, just like I did Phillips that time. In fact, when I got through with hours of teaching Philip, I said, son, do you believe that Jesus I read about in this book today can take these warts and scars off of your body? He said, Mr. Scrivener, he's 11 years old. He said, Mr. Scrivener, after what I've heard you read out of that book today, I believe Jesus can do anything. I said, son, that's what God's looking for right there. And I prayed the prayer of faith for him, and the king took them all off. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Warts and scars. Psalms 103, 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What is the first thing you get out of that God wants you to do? Bless him. Bless the Lord. And I don't care if you're 1 year old or 101 years old, you're still his child. And he's still daddy. And you need to bless him. He loves it when you bless him. Bless the Lord. And then he says, after you bless him, He says, then forget not all his benefits. And then he tells us what those benefits are in the next three verses. Who forgives how many of your iniquities?
All.
Is that good news?
That's great.
Oh, that's great news. We need that. Who forgives all of our iniquities? And then after he's forgiven all of our iniquities, how many of us does he heal?
All.
Who heals all of our diseases. Now, is that good news? You know, I was riding down on an airplane the other day, and I met a 28-year-old Southern Baptist preacher. He just graduated from seminary, going to his first church. And he's sitting there talking to me, and he says, what do you do? I said, well, I'm an evangelist. Oh, he said, you are. He said, I'm a Southern Baptist preacher myself. He said, what denomination are you associated with? I said, well, I was associated with the Southern Baptist for 65 years, but now I'm non-denominational. He said, why? I said, because they don't believe the word. He said, I don't believe that. He said, of course we believe the word. I said, well, no, you say you do, but you really don't. And he says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, I said, God gave me a faith ministry, a healing ministry, and most of the Baptists don't believe God heals. He said, well, I believe God heals sometimes. When he wants to. I know he can. I said, well, see, that's what I'm talking about. I said, he promises to heal all of us. He said, no, that's not true. That's not the word. He said, God only heals who he wants to. And I said, well, because of sin, that's why people are sick. He said, now, wait a minute. He said, let me tell you, I got a cold and a runny nose right now. You think I got sin in my life? I said, absolutely. Didn't draw no budgets. Absolutely. You got unbelief in your life, I can tell you, that's sin. Anything you do that's not of faith is sin. I said, you don't believe the word. He said, God don't heal everybody. I said, you don't believe the word. He said, sure I do. I said, let me open my Bible to Psalm 103 and let me turn to verse 3 and I want you to read that. He said, who forgives all of my iniquity? I said, you believe that? He said, well, of course I do. I said, how about the next line? Who heals all my diseases? I said, see? That's why I ain't a Baptist no more. I said, we don't believe the word. I said, if God put it in there, I believe it. I said, I just had to become non-denominational. That way I can minister to anybody and everybody. So they call, are you a Baptist? Nope. Are you a Methodist? Nope. What are you? A Christian. I love Jesus. Praise the King. And I said, look at the rest of that, son. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Don't you love that? Now, this all happens when you're obedient, see? Not disobedient. And then look at this next verse. The world's looked for this forever. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I can be 70 or 80 or 90 years old. We don't have to be old men, do we, young feller? Amen. We don't have to be old men. We're young men. Because we claim that promise. Old women. You know, how many times have you heard people? I was ministering to a precious, beautiful young girl the other day. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, will you please pray for me, a husband? I'm getting to be so old, I'm afraid I'm going to never get married. Looked at this beautiful thing. I said, well, how old are you, honey? She said, I could never tell you. I'm ashamed of how old I am. I said, well, you know, you look fairly young and beautiful. I really don't see nothing wrong with you. I said, come on, tell me how old you are. No, I don't want to tell you. I said, I really think the Lord would want you to tell me how old you are. Okay, you promise you'll never tell nobody how old I am? I said, I promise to never tell anybody how old you are. How old are you? She leaned over and whispered, and she said, I'm 32. Oh, is she old? I said, gee whiz, no wonder. You probably won't ever get up married. I just really helped her out there. See? I said, get over it, girl. Get over it. I mean, age has nothing to do with it, does it? It's all in your mind. It's your listening to the devil. The devil is the one to say, oh, you're old and wore out. Oh, you can't do nothing. You're such a sinner. Jesus would never do nothing for such an old wicked boy like you. And we believe the beast, don't we, son? Unfortunately, we do. I mean, Jesus made us all these promises of what we can do as children of God. And we've just touched on these promises the last hour, hour and a half. Just touched on them. There's dozens more of them in here. But just think. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles.
Praise God.
Amen. Boy, I claim that regular. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I'm young. I may be 69 years old, but man, I can do anything.
Amen.
I'm the youngest 69-year-old man you ever seen in your life. I mean, you're going to look a long time before you find one that knows he's younger than me. You know? I can work and run and play and do everything I want to do. And I mean, I tell you what, we put in 14, 16, 18 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week, doing something for the kingdom of God. You know, we have lots of fun.
Amen.
And I know that's why God gave me such a young, beautiful bride, because she can almost stay up with me. Ain't no way she can stay up with me. She knows it. But if the Lord had given me one my age, she'd have been ancient, you know, and she wouldn't have been able to keep up with me. In fact, whenever the Lord gave me Cheryl and I was going to introduce her to the church, Dave Rosenfeld was sitting back there. And whenever Cheryl, when I was going to tell, I told the story that day about how God brought us together. It's a very supernatural thing, how he gave her the dream and the vision. And the next morning spoke to me and gave me a vision of her and told me audibly I was going to marry her and she's going to be my wife. Well, that's kind of unique, isn't it? But that's what God did for us. And so then after we set a date and everything, I was going to tell the church that I was going to get married, because I told the church many times I was never going to get married under no conditions unless God spoke to me and told me to marry a woman. And so that Sunday she brought her daughter. Of course, she's about, at that time, she's about 35, somewhere in the neighborhood of 35. Beautiful, long-haired, blonde girl. She was sitting right beside her mother on the outside next to the aisle. And so I told her, I said, now, this is what happened. I told the story about how God brought us together. And I said, now then, you'll get to meet this lovely lady. And everybody's wondering who this lady is. I said, honey, would you please stand up? And Christy, her daughter, 35 years old, stood up to get out. And Dave said, no, no, no. No, God, no. Not a 35-year-old long blonde-headed girl, no. And then when she stepped down the aisle, Cheryl got up, he said, oh, okay, God, thank you, Lord. Oh, goodness gracious alive. Isn't life fun?
Amen.
I mean, we're supposed to be the body of Christ. We're supposed to have life and have it abundant, right?
Amen.
We're supposed to have so much fun in life. It is so much fun. And I'm telling you, Cheryl and I have a fun life together. We go places and do things, and we pray for people. And for those of you that are here, that I was asked a question a while ago, do we come other places? Yes, we do. We put it on our website. And if you want us to come to another city, all you got to do is make arrangements, have us a place to teach, have 50 or 100 people or more there, and pay our transportation back and forth and a little hotel, and take a love offering for us while we're there. That's all we require. And we trust God. And that's the way it's done. So we don't, that way we don't ever charge nobody for nothing. So we're not impossible to get. We're not like some preachers say, okay, yeah, you pay us $20,000 and we'll come. No, we don't do that. We go for free, and we just go and get people saved, healed, and delivered, and have a lot of fun doing it. So praise the King. Now then, it is 4:25. We're going to start praying for people. I'm going to pray an ending prayer and close this thing out. And then I'm going to be here. Cheryl's going to be here. I don't know, maybe Dave will be here. I don't know. I don't know who else. Frank, you going to pray with us some? Or you can. I know Frank and Terry, they're around to pray, and I don't know who else is here. But anyway, we'll be able to pray with you, meet your need, everything. And if you have any kind of needs, don't worry about thinking how long it's going to take. We will be here until every one of your needs are met. You know, we do not close out and go home in 5 minutes. We will be here as long as it takes. So whatever that is. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every soul you brought here today. I thank you for your word, that how you touch the hearts of men and women and what you're going to do with every one of them. And I want to thank you, Lord, for showing everybody here what their sin was, those that need to be prayed for, need to be healed. And, Lord, as they repent of their sins and you come up, I'm going to ask you to increase all of their faith and our faith so we can pray the prayer of faith for them, so they will be healed. And Lord, we believe with all our heart, everybody we pray for today will be set free, delivered, and healed. And their needs will be met because we know you want them all healed. Every time you prayed for them, they were all healed. And so, Lord, we want to have the same kind of faith so you can move the same way with your people. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen.